Blog Talk Radio.
Was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison. Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes, sir. How's everybody going? It's your boy, Cali Michael, coming at you with a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best, the brightest, and boldest opinions on everything that has to do with the world of football, sports, life, pretty much damn near anything, because we get kind of wild on this show. We got our crew together. Boys are back in town. We got Chi-Town Mike. What's going on, Big Mike?
What's going on, everybody? First, I got to, you know, make two dedications. First, you know, the driver war, you know, and Tony Stewart, you know, that was a, you know, it's not about football, but, you know, that was kind of a sad story to see what happened with that incident, you know. Pray for both of those two, you know, hope everything, you know, going through tough times with them. And also, you know, Robin Williams, you know, rest in peace.
We also got the mouth of the South coming at us from the stunt capital of the world, Tampa, Florida, Clauzel Mathis. What's going on, Clauzel?
Yeah, I would like to, you know, give my condolences to Mike Smith, you know, the drug war veterans, you know, people that have lost in the struggle, man. People we lost in the struggle.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like we're going to have some politically charged stuff today. We also got with us the original Tennessee Volunteer, Antonio Whatley. What's going on, man?
I ain't trying to give my shout out to nobody. Let's get this shit started.
My goodness. Classy as usual.
My goodness.
Classy as usual.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. Hey, Tony and Clauzel, I've seen both your teams go at it, man. The Steelers and the Giants, man. That was a heck of a game I saw Saturday on NFL Network.
I agree. I saw it.
Didn't even see it.
That was a preseason game. Who ended up winning that one?
The Giants.
Mm. A close one, though. I mean, the boy should have hung on to that ball,
preseason.
Man. He had it. The ball was popped out, but, you know.
I'm a Giants fan, but I don't really hold too much into preseason games, but, you know.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think either one of those teams is going to be very good this year anyway.
Bunch of mouth.
They're not. I want to get things started. Go ahead, Mike.
I think the Steelers got the edge, though. They got the best quarterback in that division, man.
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks
there.
Very much. Go ahead. Talk, Chi-Town. You know what you're talking about. You're the
Steelers,
expert.
And
the
he's a fellow Pisces on air.
The Steelers have Johnny Manziel.
Oh, that's funny. That now that was funny.
Yeah, Johnny. Not yet,
that
Johnny.
Was crazy.
I'm gonna give you that one. That was funny.
I want to ask you guys about this real quick. We just got breaking news. Chip Serafin out of Arizona State has just came out of the closet. He's announced that he's gay and he's proud and he's out. What do you guys think about it? Do you guys think that maybe Michael Sam did open up some kind of, you know, portal or door to where a lot more players are going to start doing this? What do you guys think?
Oh, my God, I'm about to throw up.
This is a big man, too. He's 6'6". He's 6'6", 3-something.
He doesn't look like Michael Sam. He doesn't look like Michael Sam, Jason Collins, either.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't have anything against being gay. I really don't. I don't have a problem with who you prefer to sleep with, but keep it to yourself. You don't ask me who the hell I'm sleeping with, so I don't give a fuck who the hell you're sleeping with.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is going to be the new way things are going. So, you know.
It's just irritating to me how all of these gay people want the spotlight. You don't need the spotlight. If you're happy sleeping with somebody that's the same sex, just be happy and shut the fuck up.
I feel the same way, too, man. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't, you know, like I said, if I get drunk and, you know, and go out and sleep with an ugly chick, I don't go, hey, I like ugly chicks. You know, I did.
Absolutely.
It, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
But,
well,
you know,
you don't have to go around bragging about who you sleeping with. That's your personal business. We don't like you because of your personal life. We like you because of what you're doing in the sport. That's all we care about. Who you sleep with is none of our business. I don't know who Peyton Manning's wife is. I don't know who Eli Manning's wife is. I don't know who none of them people's relationships are, and I don't care. So why do you keep trying to tell me who your boyfriend is? I don't care.
That's a good point, Tony. Do you guys think that because of social media and how we like to look into people's lives, do you guys think that that's the reason, you know, why this stuff is becoming big news?
I guess you just want to be another person, hey, say, hey, it's okay, you know, Michael Sam did what he did, hey. I just want everybody to know, hey, I'm gay. I was like,
but I mean, what do you, I mean, what does I mean, but
I get
nobody said
saying,
it's
hey,
not okay,
know.
Though.
I mean,
are
hey,
you gonna play this year?
Like you said, like Tony said, hey, what goes on outside of football and your sexual preference, that's your preference, you know, hey. If you want to, you know, be with men, that's you know, hey. More power to you, you know. So I mean, as
you know, the thing that bothers me though is like when they try to compare it to the civil rights movement, and I mean, who's holding gay people back? You know what I mean? I mean, who's you know what I mean? Who's stopping them? I mean, who's, you know, like I say, who's, you know, it's easy to say conservatives or, you know, Christians or whatever people like to say, but I mean, who's, you know, who's doing that besides those dudes up in out of that church in Kansas, you know, where they go and protest at people's funerals and say, you know, hey, you know.
But my problem is very simple. This is athletics. Athletics has absolutely nothing to do with your personal life. We don't care who your wife is. We don't care who your girlfriend is. We don't care who your boyfriend is. How many people goes around asking Peyton Manning about his wife? Nobody asks Peyton Manning about his family. Do you know how many children Peyton Manning's got? Do you know who his wife is? Do you know what she does for a living? Why? Because we don't care. But why all of a sudden are these gay people coming and wanting us to focus on their penis? I don't give a fuck who you're having sex with. I want to focus on your athletic prowess and what you're doing on the football, basketball, whatever field. I don't care what you're doing in your bedroom. I don't want to be in your bedroom.
Well, that's it's kind of weird. I mean, okay, you're a military person, Tony, and the military, well, I don't know if it was in policy when you were there, but they used to have the, you know, the don't ask, don't tell policy. And apparently homosexuals found that offensive. I mean, to me, That seems like that's the best policy. Don't ask, don't tell, you know?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. Now, I don't know about the military, but in regular life, don't ask, don't tell lives. I don't want to know. That's why I say don't tell. I don't want to know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, you know, I think it's going to become one of those things, kind of like, you know, the situation we just had, which, you know, I want to talk about that a little bit more later, too, with Ray Rice, you know, how, you know, now it seems like you can't even speak out about domestic violence now or they just now, you know, suspended Max Kellerman because he said he slapped his girlfriend after she slapped him, and they suspended him, you know. So it seems like one of them things, like, you know, even if you try to talk about it, you're going to be crucified anyway, you know, to where even if you bring up the subject of it, you know, you're going to get in some kind of trouble.
I was going to say, I heard about Kellerman being suspended. I didn't know he got suspended for saying that. I honestly would say, since in the spectrum of, you know, a spectacle, you know, everything, when you're in that type of, you know, field, you know, the field we're in, we're doing, you're always being noticed as well. I would have kept that to myself. That's between you and your personal people. Now, don't let the world know that you did that, you know. I would have kept that to myself.
You talking about Max Kellerman?
Yeah, basically what he was just saying was that, you know, his, you know, he said, like, what was it, like 20 years ago, you know, his girlfriend, who he ended up marrying and having kids with and lives happily ever after with, they were drunk and she slapped him and he slapped her back. That's all he said.
And he got suspended for, I know, he got suspended for something like that. That's stupid, man.
Yes. You know, that's all. That's literally all he said.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of getting into that weird area, you know, where people start talking about thought police, you know, to where you can't even think certain things without somebody coming in, you know, arrest. You know, remember that? What was that movie with Tom Cruise, the Minority Report, where, you know, people come and arrest you for shit that you might do, you know? So it's getting into that kind of weird area. But let's get back into the realm of football here. I want to bring up another one of these topics. Michael Vick has came out and apparently he's given Ray Rice some advice on how to deal with, you know, what's going on. He told him just keep making amends and back up your words, you know, by your actions. You guys feel that are they lumped in the same boat? I mean, like I said,
of course they're going to be lumped in the same boat. He'll be lumped let me
rephrase it. Michael Vick is a convicted felon who went to jail. Ray Rice has not been convicted of any crime. You know, I mean, it's one of them things where you're not innocent until proven guilty anymore. So, I mean, how, you know what I mean? So it's like, he's the devil, you know, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? So, it's, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, it's him, it's Ray Rice and Vic, you know?
Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't put him on the same level from that standpoint. I mean, I think Vic did a lot worse to dogs than what Ray Rice did to his girlfriend, because we don't even know what his girlfriend did to him, because she was arrested too, so we don't even know. She was charged with a crime too, so, I mean, I can't really make a judgment on this Ray Rice situation accurately, because I don't know what the full details of this investigation were. She got charged with a crime. He didn't apologize to her the first time at the press conference. So clearly, and he only got 2 games. So clearly, she must have been doing something.
Well, let me do this. Let me get some of you married men in trouble here. We got two married men on the show with us.
Oh, I already had a conversation with my wife about this, so I'm cool.
let me get y'all in some trouble here, Tony. Let's say you at home with your wife, and y'all having an argument. And all of a sudden, she just balls up and just knocks you in the mouth. What's your response?
Well, with all due respect, my wife ain't going to haul off and knock me in the mouth.
Okay, let's say, she's, let's, Let's say, let's say she gets possessed by a demon.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. But if that were to happen and my wife hit me in the mouth in public, we would get out of public real quick. Do you hear me? I'm talking about at supersonic speed. And
okay,
and what happens after we get out of public, nobody else would know.
All right, same question to you, Clavel.
Yeah, exact same thing. I got the exact same answer.
You see how, that's the difference between married men and single men. Mike, you see how very nice, even though you see the implied threat without outright violence in the words of Tony. You can tell Tony's gonna be good at being married. You can tell. You see the way he worded that. That's not very. When you become married, that's the way you have to word things, because you really don't want to piss that lady off too much. So yeah, but okay. Well, let me ask you guys this, Tony. You got kids. You got boys. Clavel, you're probably gonna be having kids soon. What did you teach your sons to do in that type of situation?
Well, I was always raised to never put your hands on a woman, and I truly believe that. But at the same time, women need to be raised to never put your hand on a man. So I'm a true believer that what goes around just might come around. So you might want to think before you act.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. What about you, Clavel?
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't think a woman should have the right to hit a man. I mean, a woman should be get punished, too, for hitting a man. Because clearly that's what happened with Ray Rice in that situation. He only got two games because she must have done something very suspicious, you know. She must have hit him or did something to him.
Is in 2-3 years, you know, you got little Clavel Jr., you know, are you going to teach him that if a woman hits him, it's okay for him to hit her?
If you have to defend for your life or something like that, yeah. If it's okay to hit somebody, you have to defend yourself. If you
okay.
have to defend for your life, yeah.
I mean, okay, and like I say, I even see what Tony's talking about. But Tony, do you think that? I mean, it's a different generation now, though, dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got, you know, these ain't the chicks that our mothers were. You know, these are hooligans.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. That ain't got nothing to do. It's simple as respect. If you want respect, you have to give respect. And if you disrespect me by hitting me, you don't say nothing about getting disrespected. It's that simple. That's just like, if a woman was to hit you and then you call her a bitch, how's she going to be mad that you called her a bitch after she just hit you?
Well, what do you think, Mike? How was you brought up?
Same way, never, you know, hit a woman. You don't hit a woman.
And you still believe that? Even,
yeah, but most
even
of
after all this.
Most of these situations, like the way these domestic violence situations occur, is not like how it's portrayed in the movies, where you have this poor little girl, she says something crazy, and the man just smacks her upside the head. That is not how it goes on. What happens is usually she eggs on the situation, she hits the guy like 4 or 5 times in advance, and then he just does it out of defense. Even if he didn't even hit back with a hard shot, she's just gonna play victim role. That's what's gonna happen, you know. Like even with that Jay-Z and Salon situation, she was attacking him. Let's just say Jay-Z just sort of like pushed her back and he hit her in her face, and like it wasn't even that hard. She would have started being in victim mode and saying he hit me, just like that Chad Johnson's ex-wife, Lazada, whatever her name is. You know what I mean? He didn't even really do anything to her. He didn't even really hit her, man. I mean, come on, man. You know, so.
What's funny, you know, because people always mention, you know, women as being rougher or soft. But if you look at that tape of Solange, she was fighting past a big
6-foot-something, 300-pound security guard. And if you fought past him to get to Jay-Z, he could not hold that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if you're trying to passively hold somebody and you got somebody trying to scratch your eyes and kick your balls and do all, you know, it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. You know, and that, like I say, let's say this. I mean, we've all held a baby. You know, a baby is the, you know, the most innocent thing in the world. But have you ever had a baby fall out, you know, or try to get it, you know what I mean? It's, you know, shit, it's, you know, well, baby, you know, it's hard. Sometimes, it, you know, a baby can jerk itself out of your hands. And if that's a, you know, 20-pound baby, you can only imagine, you know, a 130-pound woman, you know. So, it's, you know, like I said, and what Caldwell said is, you know, I mean, sometimes it can even be reactionary. You know, we all seen Baby Boy, you know, the scene in Baby Boy where old girl is beating up Baby Boy and, you know, and it just seemed like he just turned and slapped, you know. That's reaction. When you get hit, you're going to defend yourself. And, you know, but of course, you know, the whole movie was, oh, you know, he beat her. And, you know, but then she left Snoop Dogg in the house and turned the house out. But, you know, I think it's just interesting, you know, the way our society is like, you know, we say we want, you know, equality, you know, women's equality, you know, homosexual equality. But then, you know, when you kind of look at things, it's unequal as hell, you know. And it's kind of weird, especially for black folks, since we really want equality and we don't get no damn equality. It's like, golly, you know. So,
yep.
I don't know. You know, that's something that's just kind of been, you know, digging at the back of my mind. I wanted to ask you guys, Hard Knocks has started. Has anybody got to see any episodes yet?
No,
I haven't seen it.
Apparently they're doing the Atlanta Falcons. I've checked out both episodes. You guys should check it out. It looks like it's gonna be pretty interesting. They already made their first cut. It was pretty nasty the way they did it too. Like they kind of built it up like the guy was doing good, and they, you know, next thing you know, they're like, we see you in the office. Yeah, they brought his ass in there and cut him. So it should be pretty interesting this year. They got a lot of characters. Mike Tice is a coach on their team. Brian Cox is a coach on their team. That's one of your old boys, Mike. So you know, it's gonna be pretty interesting. They got a lot of characters on that team.
It's the Falcons, right? The Falcons are the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Falcons. They got
Mike Tice. They used to tell me about Mike Tice. I didn't know he was coaching in the NFL.
Yeah. Tice is the offensive line coach, and Brian Cox is the defensive line coach. Then Mike Nolan is the defensive coordinator, I believe. I forget who the offensive coordinator is, but they got a lot of characters on their team, so it's gonna be a pretty good season. Y'all might want to check it out.
Is Brian Cox still Brian Cox?
Oh my goodness, he's already cursed out so many people. It's been amazing, you know. And Mike, Mike Tice likes to curse too. So that's, you know, like, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, when they did the Jets a couple of years ago, and they were talking about Rob Ryan cursing. This ain't nothing compared to that. You know, every other word that comes out of Brian Cox's mouth is a curse word. You know, so
yeah, I'm about to watch that.
What'd you say?
I have to admit that I curse a lot, but at the same time, I got the freedom of speech. I can say what I want. To me, a curse word ain't a curse word. Why? Because everybody wants to use the Bible and say this, that, the other. I remember a time when gay meant happy. Bitch means a female dog. Fuck can mean sex.
Yeah.
It's all according to how you look at what a curse word is.
Well, let me ask you, okay, it seems like it's acceptable, now that you mentioned that, it seems like it's acceptable in NFL, but we've seen college and high school coaches get fired for cursing. I don't know about y'all, when I was in high school, our coach used to curse all the time. You know,
our coach used to grab us, now you can't put your hands on nobody.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? You know, I mean, do you guys think the college and college is kind of, high school. You guys think the high school coaches should be cursing at the kids and, you know?
I don't know. My high school coach did, and I went to Catholic school.
I agree. ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
My high school coach,
he
would cuss all the time.
And what's amazing is the parents are sitting there cussing at their kids all the time, but the second somebody else cuss at them, they want to get them fired. Are you kidding me?
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. That's society for you. Well, that's, you know, y'all not high school teachers, but, you know, y'all in the teaching business, so y'all kind of know how hard it is to, you know, try to teach somebody. You know, like I said, I got two friends who got girlfriends that are teachers, and, you know, they tell me horror stories. You know, basically you can't say shit to these kids without somebody's parents coming up to the school trying to fight you. So,
lose your job. Yeah, I heard it's different breed and stuff. I got friend who's a teacher, man. He told me stories.
The thing with me is I teach at a career college. I don't teach at a regular university. I teach at a career college. These are niggas from the hood. Do you feel me? So it's one of them situations of where they come in here, they trying to better their lives, and I appreciate that. But you know what? They do bring the hood into the classroom. And when you try to just keep acting like Mr. Educated Man, that offends some of them. I'm telling you, it really does. Because when you keep trying to tell them, I need you to come up to my level, they tell you, if you want me up there, you need to come down and help me get up there. So when you come down, those people that ain't used to that genre of people or ethnicity of people who are used to their little 18-year-olds going straight to the university, they don't understand that. Because they're used to just being able to teach little Sally to do what little Sally wants to do, whereas you don't realize that Veronica wasn't raised like little Sally. Shaniqua had a whole different experience in the projects than little Sally did over there in the suburbs. And when you're trying to teach Shaniqua, you're going to have to reach her in a different way.
Exactly. I want to put this conversation on hold for overtime because I want to ask you guys some questions, especially you, Tony, when we get into overtime about this. Let's go back to football. I want to talk about our favorite school, everybody's favorite university, the University of Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I was talking with Matt on Cold Hard Truth on Sports yesterday about them. Their schedule, they got another insane-looking schedule here. They start off at Rice, then they got Michigan, Purdue, Syracuse, Stanford, North Carolina, Florida State, Navy, Arizona State, Northwestern, Louisville, and they end at USC.
Cupcake.
If Notre Dame, especially with this new playoff system, if they run the gauntlet on this schedule, would any of you have a problem with them taking that fourth playoff spot away from a major conference champion?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because say that because you said if they run the gauntlet, they had to beat FSU, so you think they deserve it. That's why you saying it. I'm saying no because they playing a bunch of cupcakes.
These aren't cupcakes, though, man. FSU, USC, Louisville, Michigan, these are all major schools. These aren't cupcakes.
USC, Michigan are not what they used to be. Just because their names are what they used to be, their teams are not what they historically have been. Come on now.
That's what I've been trying to tell University of Florida fans, but some guys don't believe it. But anyway, like I said, if Notre Dame runs this schedule, this is a tough schedule, man. I mean, what do you think?
They're not going to beat Florida State. You really believe Florida State? Notre Dame's going to beat Florida State? You really believe that?
I'm saying
if they run the gauntlet, they're not going to run the gauntlet.
Okay, I understand. I don't think they are either. But if they do, any given Saturday or Sunday, anything can happen. If they do.
Yeah, if they do, they would be able to go into the national championship game. Yes, if they do.
Yeah, if they beat Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the same for Tennessee. If Tennessee runs the table, they would win the national
championship. Hold on, Clausel. You'd have no problem with it, though, if they did.
If Tennessee won all their games?
No, if Notre Dame if Notre Dame goes 14-0, you wouldn't have any problem with them going into the playoffs.
Oh, well, any team that goes 14-0 should at least be considered, you would think.
But what I'm saying is that a 14-0 Notre Dame team is not even going to be considered. They're going for sure. We all know they're not going to hold.
That's not going to happen.
Notre Dame team out of the
when was the last time Notre Dame went 14-0? I don't think any of us were born.
It was 2 years ago. They went to the national championship.
Did they go 14-0? I thought they lost the game.
I mean, no, they were undefeated.
They lost to Alabama. Yeah, you lost to Alabama.
Yeah.
In the national championship.
Yeah, they went undefeated.
But they were undefeated.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be a closer game than I thought, but man, that was a blowout.
You could tell when they played, I think it was Syracuse they played, they shouldn't have won that game. Syracuse had them three times, and the refs won that game for them. They shouldn't even made the play. They shouldn't even made the national championship game. I think it was Syracuse, wasn't it? One of them cupcake teams up there that they beat, and they literally beat them in like three overtimes.
I just want to get this established real quick. In your mind, every team that's not in the SEC is a cupcake team, right?
No, no. Every team that has not been to a major bowl in the last 10 years is a cupcake team.
You just said Michigan is a cupcake, and they've been to a major bowl in the last 10 years.
Okay, but when was the last time Michigan went to a major bowl?
They go damn near every other year.
No. Michigan has sucked.
They haven't been relevant in a long
State.
Time.
I didn't say Ohio State. I said Michigan.
Not Ohio State. Michigan's been good, but they ain't been like the old Michigan.
Exactly.
Ain't been like
they ain't been the team in the top 10 in a long time. Michigan ain't been relevant for a long time.
Come on, man. We're gonna go into one of these arguments again, Callie.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Tony, you call Florida State a cupcake and they won the damn national championship.
When did I call Florida State a cupcake?
You've done it plenty of times.
No, he said they played cupcake teams.
I said they played cupcake. ACC is a cupcake conference.
Oh, my goodness.
It is.
Okay, let me the best team in the country. Like, I mean, I kind of equivocate that to when USC was dominating the Pac-10.
And the Pac-10 was a cupcake conference.
I've already disproved that with facts. You guys didn't want to listen to the facts.
Like Clemson, and I kind of equate Clemson, like Clemson is right now, to like to Florida State to the Cal was to USC, you know. But USC was still
I've already diffused that argument. You tried the same argument before, and I disbanded it.
Let me explain it like this. You got like six or seven major bowls, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the National Championship. Those type of bowls are the major bowls. Any team that has not been in one of those major bowls in the last 10 years is a cupcake. It's that simple.
Okay.
Consistently. I can't say one time.
So you mean to tell me unless a team consistently makes it to a BCS bowl, they're a cupcake? That's insane. No, that's not what I said.
Wiley says, he's saying that Boise State's a top tier team, but they're not. You know,
he didn't say top tier. He just said they're not cupcakes.
All right, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so South Carolina, are they a cupcake?
South Carolina has gone to major bowls.
Name one.
A couple of years ago, South Carolina, well, it wasn't last year. It was a couple of years ago, South Carolina went to a major bowl.
Shit.
They didn't win the SEC East, but they finished enough to go to a good bowl.
Shit. Name it.
Like I said, I don't have a computer right in front of me.
The Sugar Bowl, the year that Auburn won the national championship, they beat South Carolina in the SEC championship game.
Yes. What? South Carolina has been to a major bowl.
Yeah, and the SEC championship.
South Carolina? What the hell are you guys talking about? I'm looking at South Carolina. The year Auburn beat...
Let me finish.
The year Auburn beat South Carolina, they went to the Chick-fil-A Bowl and they got their asses whooped by Florida State. South Carolina has never made it to a BCS game.
I didn't say a BCS game. I said a major bowl. I guess it has been the BCS.
You just named the BCS bowls. All the bowls you just named were BCS bowls.
All right, let's bring James on. James got something to say. What you got to say, James?
Please.
Man, you're breaking up, man.
I can't even hear him.
I know, man. James, you on?
Yo.
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on, James?
Yeah, man, what are y'all doing, man? I mean, y'all coming up with these, like, definitions out of nowhere of what a cupcake team is.
James, I just been letting them say what they want because I know whatever they say, I'm going to be able to just use it with logic and facts. So I haven't really even argued against the definitions. I'm just going to argue. I'm going to use their own definitions against them, basically. So apparently a cupcake team is a team that doesn't go to BCS bowls, even though to me that would be a top 10 team, which any team out of top 10. Them a cupcake, but you know that's in my opinion and the rest of the countries. But
if you have not been to a single BCS bowl game in the last 10 years, you are irrelevant. It's that simple.
Okay, so South Carolina is irrelevant.
Call it what you will. The South Carolina and the SEC is irrelevant.
I'm not calling it anything. I'm using your definition.
Wait a minute.
Then by my definition, South Carolina is irrelevant because they can't win the SEC East to get to a major bowl. When they win the East and get to a major bowl, then they can claim relevancy. It's that simple.
Wait a minute. Did somebody say that Michigan was a cupcake team according to that definition?
Yeah, they did.
Nobody said Michigan was a cupcake team. We said Michigan ain't been relevant for years.
Yeah, they haven't been a dominant team. They haven't been to old Michigan in a long time.
Like, you know, it's been since, what, 06, 05, 06, since they've been to the Rose Bowl or something like that?
I don't know, man. I mean, they haven't been
okay,
Rose
Bowl. Okay, 05 was 8 years ago.
I can't trust Clausel because he just tried to tell me that South Carolina, they went to a BCS bowl and I knew it was a lie.
Oh, five was 9 years ago. It's 2014.
I knew, and see the thing is, we're trying to understand is what I asked you guys a question, I already know the answer.
I'm just gonna let you know. I'm gonna see who's gonna tell the truth and who's not.
Oh, really?
I already knew that South Carolina didn't go to no damn BCS bowl game.
Now, can we get back to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
All right. Now, yeah, they should be one of the four teams in the BCS or whatever this playoff thing is going to be if they run the table, and they possibly could do it with one loss. They face at least, what, three teams in the top 15 this year? Florida State, USC, and Stanford are all in the top 15. So you go through that with about one loss, and, hey, they might get considered.
Please, they're going to lose two of those games. They probably beat USC, but they ain't going to beat Florida State or Stanford.
I don't know about Stanford this year, though.
I mean, please. I just don't see Notre Dame. And they got to go on the road, too. Do they play USC at home?
Hold on.
I don't know. They're playing SC in SC this year.
Yeah, they play SC at SC. They got Stanford at home.
They
got Stanford, Arizona State. Arizona State is ranked number 18. Michigan not even ranked in the top 25 this year. That's a damn shame.
Because Michigan sucks. Ain't that what we just got to telling you?
Yeah, man.
Hold on. So once again, Michigan sucks again. Now, this is the second time I told you he said it, but then he said he didn't say it.
It's
so
the truth. They have not been relevant for years.
You know who else isn't ranked in the top 25? The Florida Gators.
Okay. The Florida Gators sucked last year. I don't deny that.
Yeah. I just like hearing you admit that. That's all.
I wouldn't be surprised if Florida has a better year than USC, though.
I bet you Florida don't suck this year. Look at their home schedule this year. All of the games they lost, a lot of the games they lost last year were because they were tough road games. Them tough road games are in the swamp this year.
Except for Alabama.
Hold on a minute. Time out. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, this thing about Michigan, right? That was just, what, the past couple of years that they ain't been relevant?
No. Michigan has been irrelevant for a long time, at least.
They've been in a BCS bowl game recently, though, bruh.
When?
Michigan ain't been relevant since pretty much since Rick Rodriguez got there. So that was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Michigan ain't been relevant for longer than that. When Rich Rodriguez got there, he got there because they had sucked so long, they hired him.
Well, no, he got there. He got there because they fired
him. Whoa.
They got rid of Loy Carr after he lost that game to Appalachian State. That's what that was all about.
When has Michigan won 13 games? When has Michigan won 13 games? The last time Michigan won 13, only lost one game. Name the year Michigan lost, the last time Michigan lost just one game in a season. That's when they were relevant.
That's when they were relevant.
Until then, they have not been relevant.
University of Florida has never won 13 games.
Answer the question. When was the last time Michigan lost just one game?
I don't know that, but I know that
in the regular season.
In the regular season.
What was it?
Including their division championship game. Name the last time Michigan went 11-1 or 12-1 or
2006.
Okay, that was 8 years ago. That is irrelevant.
When was the last time
the Florida Gators were irrelevant?
The Florida Gators won the national championship 4 or 5 years ago. When was it that Florida Tebow was there?
4 or 5 years ago.
When was Tebow there?
Hold on. What 4 or 5 years ago are you talking about? Are you talking about 2008?
Okay, but they won the national championship. Michigan ain't even been in the fucking national championship. What are you talking about?
that's not what you said. We're talking about relevancy.
Oh, my God.
Y'all stop being relevant.
Florida's relevant every year, if you put it like that. Florida finishes in the top 10 every year.
No, they don't.
Hey, other than last year, the last 2 years when they're rebuilding, look at Florida. I guarantee you the AP top 10 had the Florida Gators in it.
No.
Look.
Oh, boy. Florida Gators. Let me see. When's Tim Tebow left? Outback Bowl, not a top 10 team.
07, you weren't.
2011, they were. Not a top 10 team.
I said to finish in the AP. Finish in the AP.
In the 07, they were not.
We were we started at 08. They won the national championship in 08. Hello?
How far back are you going, though? You said top 10 in the past 10 years, right?
Okay, I'm going.
They were number one in 08. Hello? They won the national championship. You can't get higher than that.
I'm gonna work my way back from 2013. Last year.
We know they had a bad last 2 years. Come on now. Let that go. They're rebuilding. That's what it's called when you rebuild.
Well, no, they made it to the Sugar Bowl in 2012. But of course they got their asses whooped by Louisville, who's
But they made it there, did they not? Thank you. That's a BCS bowl.
And they got whooped by Louisville, who you said is a cupcake.
But they made it to a BCS bowl in 2012.
And they didn't finish in the top 10 for the eighth final.
And they made it to a BCS bowl in 2012. Where was Michigan?
Probably.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Don't
worry about Michigan.
Sitting at home watching the BCS bowl.
So you mean to tell me University of Florida has more national championships than Michigan?
Where did that come from?
Man, we're going to be going back and forth with this forever, man. You might as well go to another topic.
I'm going to let this one go.
You got to let it go because you can't say the Florida Gators have not been relevant other than the last couple of years. You can't say it, and you can't prove it.
Okay. Like I said, all I know is I've seen you say a lot of teams are cupcakes that aren't cupcakes. I've seen you name a whole conference as cupcakes, like the SEC and the Pac-12, which have been proven that all those teams aren't cupcakes. Pretty much.
No, the Pac-12 is not cupcakes anymore. I'll give you that. The Pac-12 has raised up. I'll give you that. But the ACC is cupcake heaven.
What about the Big 12?
The Big 12 might have made themselves up to be an actual cake.
What about the Big 10?
Yeah, but the Pac-12, hold up though. Like the ACC, and I stick by what I'm saying is you can say ACC is cupcake, but the ACC, Florida State's dominance of the ACC is very equivalent to USC's dominance.
No, it isn't, Carvel. You ain't Carvel. You don't even know Carvel. Carvel, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Because the Pac-12 was a bunch of cupcakes. They were a bunch of cupcakes when USC was dominating them.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you there, Carvel.
Oh, my God.
I already proved that
that's false. I agree with you there, Carvel.
I already proved that you're false.
I agree with you there, Carvel. When USC was running it, the Pac-10 was cupcake.
They were cupcakes.
Are you guys like slow? Okay. Are you guys?
They were. Oregon wasn't the team that they were.
Stanford wasn't nobody. Oregon wasn't nobody. UCLA wasn't nobody. Name a team other than USC that was anybody when USC was dominating.
Oregon wasn't nobody under Mike Bellotti? Are you insane?
No, Oregon was nobody when USC was dominating.
They weren't a top-tier team in Oregon, no.
Yes, they were.
They were not the same Oregon when they were as Chip Kelly's Oregon. They weren't the same Oregon. No, they were not.
No, they were not.
They were nowhere near.
Nowhere near.
Come on, man.
Are we actually gonna look at record and facts? Or are we gonna look at made up stuff like you guys like to do?
Oh, please. Ain't nothing made up, man. We telling the truth, man. The only team that possibly gave USC a challenge maybe 1 or 2 years was Cal.
Hold on, if you let me talk, I can stop you already. Let's see. 2005 Oregon Ducks. They lost to USC. They got blown out by USC that year. But it also looked, oh, wow, they went 11-1. That's amazing. Too bad they suck. Let's see. 2006 Oregon Ducks. They went 7-5. That's not that good, but that doesn't suck. The next season, 8-4. And they won their
bowl. Okay, but they're in a cupcake conference playing cupcakes. You can beat cupcakes.
Okay, so the SEC isn't a cupcake conference, right?
Absolutely not.
We got six different national championship teams in the SEC. Even though, Tony, you just admitted out of your own mouth. The fifth best team in your conference is irrelevant. I think South Carolina was the third best team. Six SEC champion teams.
Six different teams. Name another conference can say that. Six different teams, not six championships.
What six teams are you talking about?
Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, LSU. All of them have won national championships.
You just named three schools.
No, I didn't. Alabama, one. Auburn, two. LSU, three. University of Tennessee, four. University of Florida, five. In the BCS era, we had six teams that won a national championship.
Dude, you just named five schools. You keep saying six. You included Tennessee. Tennessee won the national championship before I could fucking drive, so I don't include.
No, they won the first BCS championship.
In 1998.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay, that was almost 20 years ago, dude.
It doesn't matter. They won a BCS championship.
We aren't even in the BCS system anymore. That's how long ago that was. When is it going to stop?
Oh, my God. The BCS just stopped last year. What are you talking about?
Okay, so when does the relevancy of a team winning the national championship stop? They won in 1998.
Michigan, in the BCS era, I just named you five teams from one conference that won the national championship. You name me another conference that did it.
Well, first of all, you were saying six teams, and that was wrong. Can you admit that was wrong?
Five, okay. Name another conference.
Right? Hold on. So you're wrong, right?
Boy, this is crazy.
The SEC has won more than 50% of all the BCS championship games.
Okay, we're not in the BCS anymore. I don't want to talk about the BCS anymore. We're not even in that anymore.
I know, right? Because you can't. I mean, it just.
Because it was a system. Let me ask you a question, Fazel. As a reasonable person, let me ask you this question then. If I tell you that, let's say I've been playing the lottery for 30 years. Okay, let's say this. I'm a baseball player.
Oh, Lord.
Get your facts straight.
Get the story straight.
Hold on, let me finish talking. I'm a baseball player. I've been batting 300 for 20 years. Next thing you know, I start batting 350 in 50 home runs. Are you going to assume that I got better, or are you going to assume that I'm taking steroids?
I'm going to assume that you're going to the Hall of Fame.
I'm asking you. I asked Fazel.
It depends upon the person.
I'm going to assume you're going to the Hall of Fame either way, because if you've been batting 300 for 20 years, you in.
Yep.
Wait a minute. So, what? Okay, so Quazo, can you just answer the question? Are you going to assume that I've just gotten miraculously better, or are you going to assume that I'm on steroids?
I may have to see. I mean, let me simplify
for you guys. You guys are acting crazy, like you don't understand. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, if the SEC was not dominating all these other years, but all of a sudden you get in the system of the BCS and they start winning the majority of national championships, what does that tell you?
No,
folks, the best one.
It shows
that they were always the best, because before the BCS, they would have it would be a lot of politics. You know, this conference has to go to this bowl. You know, it would just be like the number one and number two a lot of times could play against each other. You know, the BCS, it was designed for the number one versus number two, right? And it gave you a true national champion, and it showed that the SEC was clearly the dominant conference over the past 30 years. That's what it clearly showed.
How, when they made it to the majority of national championships, they made it to more national championships than any other conference, despite having the same record as those same conferences, in some cases even worse records.
Because they had a tougher schedule.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
I'll pull up strength of schedules and go year for year with you. No, they didn't.
They go to the SEC, man. I mean, I don't know, man. I highly doubt that.
You guys just don't want it. You guys just don't want to admit that the BCS favored the SEC. You just don't want to admit it.
I don't think it favored the SEC. I don't think it did. Because if you don't think that based on proof, like I said, you're a physics man,
so you do stuff based on proof. I just provided you solid proof. You haven't proved anything.
Shit, you provide solid proof. First of all, you said in the SEC, it was biased towards the SEC. Well, think about it. When USC won a national championship, Auburn didn't get an opportunity to go for a national championship.
You mean the same Auburn team that got blown out by USC?
No, it's not the same Auburn team that got blown out by USC.
Jason Campbell
that wasn't the same Auburn team. That was not the same Auburn team. I'm talking about
2004. I'm asking you, are you talking about the same Auburn team that was blown out the previous 2 years by USC? Is that the Auburn team you're talking about?
They're the same team that were better than those previous 2 years.
So USC didn't get better, though, right? Even though they blew Auburn out, they got worse somehow, but Auburn got better.
But Auburn, that was a good team back there. They had Ronnie Bunk, Cadillac Williams. They had all those guys
the previous year, too.
First of all, Cadillac Williams
wasn't even healthy that whole year they went undefeated. He was healthy the whole year they got blown out.
He was young. The point you're saying is, no matter what, I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say. Auburn was the X man out that year. That's the point I'm saying. You're trying to say that's SEC bias. It wasn't SEC bias that year.
They got their asses whooped. They lost.
They went undefeated. They went undefeated that year.
In the previous 2 years, they got blown out by the team that was in the national championship.
In the SEC, they went undefeated and they didn't get an opportunity to play.
And USC blew them, and that's because USC blew them out the previous 2 years.
That had nothing to do with that year. I don't want to argue that. The point I'm trying to tell you is the SEC
did not get biased through
the BCS. That's not the point I'm trying to tell you. All right. And you can try to divert the discussion all you want to. The bottom line is,
you brought that up.
The dominance of the SEC in the BCS showed that the SEC was clearly the best.
No, the dominance showed that the SEC was clearly favored by the BCS.
Oh, please. That's not true. But I just disproved it to you because Auburn was in the national was up for the national championship, and they were the X-Men out when it was Oklahoma and USC.
You mean the okay? And like I said, you mean the same Auburn team that had been blown out in the previous 2 years?
That
like
wasn't
USC.
The same Auburn team. I keep trying to tell you that was a different year.
What was different about it?
You're trying to compare 1 year against another year. You can't do that.
I'm asking you what was different about it.
That's like Notre Dame going 14-0 and getting left out the national championship with Alabama and, I don't know, Auburn or something like that. And I'd be like, is that the same Notre Dame team that got blown out by Alabama 2 years ago? Come on, man. And that's irrelevant. We're talking about 1 year. What you got to say, James? What you got to say, James? I know you're going to be – what you got to say?
By the way, this same Auburn team, they played Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl, and they won by 3 points. USC blew out Oklahoma by 40.
It was a consolation game. It was a consolation game.
Here we go.
Really,
with that crap.
USC lost to Georgia Tech in the Sun Bowl. With a bunch of option players. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, no. What does that even mean?
They didn't want to play in the game. That's what that meant. That's what that means.
They
man.
Didn't want to play, USC got the ass whooped. Real teams don't use those kind of excuses. That's SEC excuses. Real teams don't do that. But you know, like I say,
whatever.
They
ain't no SEC excuse. That's happened to a lot of teams in college football.
Nick Saban used it on why y'all got that ass whooped last year, didn't he?
Whatever, man.
Exactly.
You just want to bring up stuff, man. Change the subject. You know I'm telling
Tony,
you.
Tony Wiley tried to use the same excuse on why Florida lost to Georgia Southern, a Division II school.
You on the phone, Wiley?
He got me muted.
No, I didn't.
It's crazy.
Oh, he got you.
I'm just sitting here listening to the foolishness.
All right, man. We're gonna change the subject, yo. We about to get man. Let's get the crab. Let's get the Jameis. All right. So what happened last week?
Let's go back to the SEC. He's been in the news.
He's been in the news as of late in regards to, Florida State University wanted to, interact with the fans. They wanted to have an Ask Jameis Day, and it was kind of
Before, can we all agree that was the stupidest idea of all time? Right? We can all agree on that, right?
Of course.
I mean,
any public person with an open his mouth, it's a stupid idea.
How could they picture that going well? How could they picture that going well? That's what I want to know. What could have been the bonus of that?
I don't know. They're trying to change it. I'm kind of concerned about that because what's going to happen is Florida State's trying to promote a positive image of Winston, basically.
That's funny.
Exactly, and that's what people like Whatley and people. And that's how America and people like Whatley think about Winston. You know what I mean? It's over. They're not going to think anything positive about him anymore. I think Florida State's going to try to change his image or something like that. Try to give him a little bit more presentable or some whatever the case is. And I think that's going to mess Jameis's mind up if Jameis falls into that. He got to be Jameis. He got to be him. He can't be somebody else. He got to be who he is. You know.
So basically, Florida State is trying to turn him into a productive citizen, and he doesn't like that. Is that what you're saying?
I would say a productive citizen. I mean, but what do you mean
or
a likable
guy.
He is a productive
citizen. He's
a productive citizen in that standpoint.
No, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make Crab Legs media friendly, and he's not.
He is media friendly. That's not true. What are you talking about?
No.
He is media friendly. That's a stupid right there. He is media friendly. He's not
to who?
The media. He's media friendly, but he's not liked by the media.
then he ain't media friendly. If the media don't like him, then he ain't friendly.
That's not true. He's very well mannered. He's very well mannered to the media. He may talk. I'm saying media friendly.
They're trying to make the media like him, and that's not going to happen.
Oh yeah, that's not going to happen. The media is not going to like him.
That is what media friendly means. Media friendly means the media likes you.
No, it does not. It means that you're accessible to the media. That's what it means, and you can give the media something to work with.
He's always accessible to the media because he's always screwing up. The media is positive towards you. The media is never going to be positive towards him. They may be positive towards his team, but they won't be positive towards him.
Well, yeah, of course. So that's why I said Jameis needs to just forget about it and be like, hey, I'm going to do me. I'm doing me. Like Floyd, that's what happened with Floyd Mayweather in his career. I'm not comparing him in terms of the James.
Floyd Mayweather, when did Floyd, I mean, the media, dude, first of all, Floyd Mayweather, the media actually likes him. He's a media darling, really.
Shit. Are you really? Are you kidding me? The media hates Floyd Mayweather.
Nah, not like Jameis Winston. You're talking about two different
guys. Oh, no. Are you kidding me? The media hates Floyd Mayweather more than they hate Jameis Winston.
I don't agree with that. Because Mayweather is not seeking media. The only time Mayweather ever seeks media is right before a match so that he can get more people betting and buying into his ticket. Other than that, Mayweather doesn't seek the media at all.
Besides that situation with his girlfriend and that assault thing, which, you know, he got arrested for, and the situation with T.I.'s wife, you don't even hear from Mayweather.
I don't know about that. Well, I subscribe to him on Twitter. I subscribe to him on Facebook, all that stuff. So he's always talking.
Oh, no, we ain't talking about that.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. You don't hear from him negatively.
He always talks to people in boxing.
My point is this.
Early in Mayweather's career, when he was with Bob Arum, they tried to make him into something that he wasn't. In terms of they wanted to make his image into somebody he's not. And Mayweather was like, I can't do that no more. I got to be who I am. And that's how you see the character that you see Mayweather. It's just who he is. And that's what's going to happen. I hope that happens with Jameis Winston. I think Florida State's going to try to make him into something that he's not. And then he's going to have to just be like, hey, man, I got to be.
Let me tell you a story I heard about Cam Newton. And this let me know that Cam Newton is dedicated to being a professional, and he's dedicated to do what he got, no matter what everybody says. Cam Newton, I forget who it was. It was somebody on NFL Network. They were talking about Cam Newton. They said that Cam Newton was in a club or a bar, and all these girls wanted to take pictures of him, and all the girls had drinks. And he said he agreed to take the pictures with them, but he told them first they had to put their drinks down. He said because he didn't want the media or anybody else to get the impression that he was in a club boozing it up.
That's called media conscience.
Exactly. Now, Jameis Winston or Johnny Manziel or some cat like that, they would have took the picture no matter what.
And see, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what Cam Newton's trying to do. He's trying to make himself media.
What's wrong with not putting yourself in the dark eye of the media and making yourself into, like I say, a better person? What's wrong with that?
No, because Cam Newton would be a type of dude that would go drink with those women. That's not Cam Newton is not the guy he's trying to portray himself to be.
Okay, but what he does in his private life, he just ain't none of your business.
Hold on, Clarzel. What trouble has Cam Newton gotten in? Cam Newton ain't been in trouble since that shit with the laptops.
And it doesn't matter whether he drinks with them girls or not. What he does in his private business.
Cam Newton is a B-side. Trust me, Cam Newton is a B-side player, but he's saying.
Oh, my God.
He is a B-side
player.
Based on
what? What are you basing this on? What are you basing this on? What are you basing this on?
Look at his pass, man. Look at his pass. Look at his pass. Stealing laptops, taking money. I think he took money.
Wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. You just blamed him for his dad taking money? Really?
Come on, man. Do you really believe that Cam Newton didn't know about this? You really gonna say that with a straight face? But anyway, man,
why would he risk? See, this is what people don't realize. Y'all folks got parents that do shit.
I'm not even that's just like
the Reggie Bush situation. Why would Reggie Bush risk it? He was already a star. You know, he already knew he was going to get millions. So why would he have risked that over a fucking house that he doesn't live in anyway? But nobody questions
that.
See, I don't know. For some reason, Clauzel, when it comes to anybody but Jameis Winston, you start thinking like them other folks, man. I don't know, man. You just put a label on Cam Newton based on nothing.
Based on nothing? Are you kidding me? Based on nothing?
Once again, what has he done? I just told you. Okay, hold on. Name it again.
The laptop.
Okay, so he stole the laptop.
The money, possibly the potential taking.
Hold on. Did you say taking money, possibly?
Yes.
Okay, and did you realize
that
he was never choosing?
Cam Newton has been in the NFL for the past 4 years.
And let me say this. My point is this: Cam Newton is the B-side player, but he said, "Hey, I need to make
like Tony just said, what has he done in the past 3 years in the NFL? Not that he's making millions of dollars. Why isn't he acting a fool?
Well, James, what's he done in the past 6 months? What has he done in the past 6 months? Outside of crab legs, what has he done?
What has he done? How much?
What has he done?
He's a college student. He's not supposed to do anything.
All right, man. The point I'm making is, let me just get back to my point, man, because I'm just not arguing with you.
Let me tell you guys something. You know a dude is bad when you have to say, what hasn't he done in the past 6 months, like you're expecting him to do a new felony or something like that. You know somebody ain't working with the fool. Well, what has he done the past 6 months? He ain't supposed to be studying.
Cam is just doing this stuff to try to make himself more accessible, to make
that's
himself
what he's
more
supposed
social
to do.
Friendly.
That's what he's
to
supposed
to
do.
But it ain't gonna
that's
work.
That's what he's supposed
to
do. Michael Jordan did the same thing. Everybody who talks about Michael Jordan says that he's a completely different
but
person.
His talent level was superior. Cam Newton, they didn't even offer him a contract.
Cam Newton has a superior talent
level. They even offered him a contract. And he could try to be more friendly as he can. They're not going to accept him. That's the point I'm trying to tell you. They're not going to accept him. Okay? He is not going to – he probably won't get a contract extension in Carolina. So my point is this.
Mike, can't you see? It's simple. Haters are going to hate.
You're saying that Cam Newton will not be the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers next year.
Has he gotten a contract?
Yes or no? Yes or no, Boswell. You're saying that Cam Newton will not be the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers next year.
Hey, I'm skeptical of it.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
You said next year or the year after?
You start stalling when you start doing that. Yes or no?
I'm skeptical, man. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. I'm skeptical, man.
I'm saying yes
yeah.
or no.
I'm
is that
skeptical.
A no? That's a no then.
I can't really get in.
That you don't seem to understand, Clauzel, is Cam Newton does not have a negative image in the NFL. He has a very positive image. Your boy has a very negative image.
Yeah, he has a positive image, but he's not accepted by his local fan base. This team, the team is not giving him a contract extension. That should let you know.
So if Jameis is already not accepted right now in high school, what makes you think he's gonna make this big splash in the NFL like you think?
Because Jameis Winston as a passer is gonna be better than Cam Newton in the league as a passer.
My goodness.
Jameis Winston's skills as a passer will be a top five NFL quarterback as a passer when he gets in the league. Right?
A top five quarterback, right? You just said when he gets in the league, he's going to be a top five quarterback.
No, eventually, and not when he first gets in the league. I said eventually he will be a
That's not what you just said.
That's what I mean.
Okay. All
right, I want to clarify that. Yeah, eventually he will be a top five NFL quarterback when he gets to the NFL.
Yeah, eventually it could be 20 years from now.
Yeah, eventually it could be up to 25 other quarterbacks died. Who knows?
Whatever, man, whatever. But my point is this, man. Cam Newton is trying to be accepted, and they ain't going to accept him. That's the point I'm trying to sell you. They ain't going to accept him.
He's already accepted. He's already accepted.
Okay, this is the thing, Carvel.
Why are you saying
that he's trying to be accepted rather than, like I said, he's just trying not to get in trouble? Well, I mean, what's wrong with trying not to get in trouble? I don't get it. Think about this, Clauzel. You compare Jameis Winston to Allen Iverson. Is that really
he
what
is.
You want to
be Allen
compare
Iverson
your
to
the guy
NFL, to? Or Floyd Mayweather
is that,
a
is
better
really,
example too.
Is that really who you want to compare your guy to character wise? Iverson, really? Bankrupt Iverson, really?
I don't care about his bankrupt. I'm talking about his character. Why not?
The same Iverson who they didn't even want to play
because
on the Olympics.
That's what I like about. Hold on. First of all, I like Allen Iverson.
That never won a national. That never won a world title. Seriously, that's the guy. Think about it. Out of all the people you could have compared.
I'm not talking about
to,
his accomplishments.
Really?
I'm talking about his character.
Exactly. Like that's exactly the same. The same Iverson who was going to be locked up in jail, but L. Douglas Wilder had to pardon him. So he can go play basketball? Really? Is that
yeah,
what
did he do? What did Allen Iverson do? Allen Iverson never did one thing in the league. What did he do? He never did one thing in the league. He didn't do anything illegal in the league.
The same guy who refused to attend practice to where it became a joke.
Oh, please. Please.
Hey, Callie Mike, I just want to say one thing. I want to hear Clauzel tell me one thing. What did Jameis Winston say about Cam Newton?
Oh, please, I don't even
want to
care.
That's what I want to know. Why don't you answer that question? Answer that question for me. What did Jameis Winston say about Cam Newton?
Right, I don't care right now. I didn't even get a chance to even get my point clearly across because Callie Mike just kept interrupting me. My point is this. I compared him to Allen Iverson because Allen Iverson had this mindset, hey, you know what, I'm going to be me. I can't be somebody I'm not. I'm going to be me.
Can somebody tell us what Jameis said about Cam Newton? That's what I want to hear.
I'm not just talking, hey, Shotown, but Cam Newton's not doing that. Cam Newton wants to be accepted so he can get more money. That's what Cam Newton's doing, all right? But that is not who he is, though. That's not who he is. Jameis
okay,
Clauzel.
Was Iverson being himself a detriment to his career, or did that help his career?
Not really. I think it wouldn't mean a detriment career in the sense of like what?
It's a simple question. It should get a simple answer.
In a sense of what? Championships? In a sense of opportunities?
In the sense of now you're stalling.
Let me finish. I'm not done talking. I didn't even get my point across. Hey, Shotown, this is what I'm saying.
Shotown, ask Fozell. What Jameis Winston said about Cam.
Let me finish. When Jameis Winston gets in the league, he's going to have an Allen Iverson mindset. He's going to be like, I'm going to do what I mean. I can't be somebody I'm not. I'm going to do me. If you don't like that, oh well. You know. That's the thing. And if Jameis doesn't make any money for it, I don't think he's going to even care.
Shotown, ask Clauzel what Jameis Winston said about Cam.
Yeah, what did Jameis say about Cam, Clauzel?
He was just trying to be, he was just showing his respect. He said, hey, you've been in the league, man.
Answer the question. One more time, say it.
I answered it, man. You got to listen next time, all right?
You want me to tell you what he said? He said, Cam Newton is a better quarterback than I am. That's what he said. Tell me he didn't say that, because I will play it for you.
I think Jameis Winston is a better passer than Cam Newton, personally.
Answer the question. Is that not what he said?
I think Jameis Winston will translate better to the NFL.
What did he say? Did he not say Cam Newton is a better quarterback than I am?
He was talking about Kelvin Benjamin. He said Kelvin Benjamin should do well under working with Cam.
Oh, wow. And why should Kelvin Benjamin do better? What did he say the reason was?
Because he said Cam Newton was a good quarterback.
No, you know what he said. Because he said Cam Newton is a better quarterback than I am. That's what he said in his own words.
Whatever, man. Jameis Winston will be a better passer in the league. He translates better to the league than Cam Newton, in my personal opinion.
We'll see.
I can't wait till this dude gets in the league. I can't wait. This is going to be a firestorm when this dude gets in the league. Oh.
Hey,
since you're making predictions, I predict he'll go to jail before he gets into the league.
I hope that don't happen, though, Tony, but, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know you have a heart. I know you're gonna be jumping in joy if Jameis Winston ends up being your New York Giant. Y'all take him.
Oh man, you talking about crazy, man? You talking about it's gonna be crazy if they draft Jameis Winston? Shoot, man, that'll be crazy, man. But
that might be the worst place for him.
Personally, I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta better because I think Atlanta would be good for him. I think they should trade Matt Ryan to get that number one pick in the draft.
I don't think they're going to do that, my friend. Matt Ryan's the guy. Eli Manning has another bad year, so they're going to probably try to run Eli out of New York or thinking that he's finished or done.
How's he going to go to Atlanta? Matt Ryan just signed a contract extension, making him a second. Matt Ryan just signed a contract,
second highest player in football.
You know he ain't going nowhere like that. He coming out either next year or the next year. Who going to be the worst teams next year? It ain't going to be Atlanta.
Nope. He might end up going to Oakland, Mike.
I hope not.
Now that would be crazy.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
I mean, let's keep it real, people. You know he ain't going to none of these good teams.
I'd rather have
Brett Hundley than Jameis Winston, tell you the truth.
Man, you smoking
something.
I'd rather have Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley than Jameis Winston. That is insane, man.
All I'm gonna say is this. Go check the mock drafts. I'm not the only one.
Jameis Winston on many
mock drafts is the third quarterback being taken after Mariota and Hundley. I'm just not that big on Mariota.
I bet you if all three came out the same year, Jameis Winston would go number one out of all three of those. If all three came out the same year.
Hey, Mike, Hundley's from California?
No, he's from Arizona.
Oh, okay. Hey, West Coast guy.
I don't really consider that the West Coast, but I mean, like I said, I just think his skill set is better than Jameis Winston.
Hey, you crazy. Dude. I don't know what you're smoking. If you think his skill set's better than Jameis Winston's. Jameis Winston's probably the best. He's the best passer I've seen about past a long time, man.
Let me ask you a question, Claude. I know you've been paying attention. If Jameis Winston is this big savior quarterback, why isn't he the consensus number one on everybody's board? Andrew Luck was the number one. Hold on one second. Andrew Luck was the number one quarterback since his sophomore year. Nobody's talking about Jameis Winston like that.
Because he has these off-the-field issues. That's why.
Nobody's talking about Jameis Winston like that.
That's not true, first of all.
No, these aren't drafts. These are mock drafts, man. These are mock drafts. They go specifically on potential and talent. These are mock drafts.
Well, I've seen mock drafts where Jameis Winston was number one. So, I mean, it is what it is. Jameis Winston would have been the number one pick in the draft.
Name one mock draft that has Jameis Winston going number one.
I'm not right by my computer. I can look it up right now. Jameis Winston would have been a number one overall pick if he came out last year. And I told you guys that, man. And y'all laughed at me. So
are you out of your mind?
My thing is this. He would have been a number one overall pick if he came out last year. He would have. Yeah. He would have been the number one overall pick. Yes. Yes. Y-E-S. Yes. He would have been. And I told you guys that at the middle of the year, and you guys laughed at me. And you were like, man, that's crazy. But he would have been the number one overall pick if he came out last year.
We're still laughing at you. We're still laughing at you.
Well, you can keep laughing. You can keep laughing because I mean, it is what it is, man. This dude, I ain't seen a pass like this in about 20 years, man. Whatever, man. A pure passer like that? Man, whatever. Y'all crazy, man. It is what it is, man.
This is insane.
It's insane, man. It's the flat-out truth.
This is Jameis Winston insanity.
Yeah, he don't feel and bumped his head.
I mean, I don't get it. I don't get through this. This you know what's funny, too? I have a kind of memory I can remember mostly anything, which people hate about me. But about 10 years ago, there was this basketball player from St. Jude High School in Alabama named Ousmane Sife. And a certain person swore that this dude was the best basketball player he'd ever seen. He swore that this guy was even better than a certain king up in Ohio. Carvel, where is Ousmane Sife at right now?
A certain team in Ohio?
A certain King James in Ohio.
I never said he was better than LeBron James. That's ridiculous. I ain't never said that, man. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. Because when LeBron James became popular in high school, you weren't even at FAMU no more. So don't even sit up here and
LeBron,
lie.
LeBron,
that's a bold-faced lie. You're lying.
LeBron,
you're just straight-up lying.
LeBron James was popular in junior high school. What are you talking about?
But we weren't talking about LeBron James then.
Yes, we were. That's how we started talking about high school players. Anyway,
yeah, man.
I never said this dude was better than LeBron James. Hold up. Where is Ousmane Sife now, who you said was the best basketball player you'd ever seen?
And he shouldn't have went to the league. He shouldn't have went to the NBA.
He did?
He should have went to North Carolina. He should have went to North Carolina. That's where he should have went. He's playing Europe, pro ball in Europe somewhere, I think.
So in other words, he stunk it up.
Yeah, he stunk it up, yeah.
And this was a guy who you said was the best basketball player you'd ever seen.
I never said he was the best basketball player I've ever seen. That's a lie, man. He's just flat out lie.
There was another. Hold on 1 second.
No, I said he was better than Eddie Curry. That's what I said. I said he was better than Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. That's all I said. And that's what we were arguing about.
That's what we were arguing about, Kelly White.
Exactly. That's all we were arguing about, and you were right there, okay? You were right. He was not better than Tyson Chandler, and he wasn't better than Eddie Curry.
Hold on, let me
and that's the only thing we argued about. We didn't argue about no LeBron James. That's a lie.
Let me name another one. There was another quarterback out of, I think it's Rainbow City, Alabama, Brody Croyle, who you swore was the top quarterback, the best quarterback you'd ever seen. And he went to Alabama. What happened to Brody Croyle?
The best quarterback I've ever seen. I say he was the number one quarterback recruit in the country, which he was. He was the number one quarterback recruit in the country.
What happened to Brody Croyle?
He got drafted by Kansas City.
He did get drafted.
I think he could be still in the league.
He's still in the league. I think he's still in Kansas City.
If he's been in Kansas City for the past 10 years, that's amazing.
And that's like I said, what happened to Matt Leinart? I mean, if you wanna just go there, what happened to Matt Leinart? What happened to Matt Barkley? I mean, so my point is this, man. I mean, sometimes if a player's great in high school, doesn't necessarily mean they're gonna be great in the NFL.
The point is you have a bad record of saying players are the best you've ever seen and they stink.
I never said they were the best I've ever seen. See, that's what you're lying at, man. You keep trying to say I said they were the best I've ever seen. That's not lying.
Hold on, you have a bad record, too.
Matt Leinart, he sucked.
Reggie Bush was not the player that we thought he would be. I'll admit.
Said that Croyle was the best football player you ever seen, but you did say Ousmane Sife was the best basketball player you ever seen.
I never said that. I did not say that. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Tyson Chandler wasn't the mega superstar that you thought he would be. You thought he would be another Kevin Garnett. I remember you said that. So
you mean NBA champion, NBA All-Star Tyson Chandler? Is that who we're talking about?
You said Tyson Chandler would be better, just as good as Kevin Garnett. That's what you said. You said that. I remember.
You're lying your ass off.
I'm not lying. I will put a hand on a Bible, man. Be that best.
Anybody that knows me knows that I'm really not even a big Kevin Garnett fan. I never have been. So I would have never compared him to anybody.
You said Tyson Chandler.
You're literally lying your ass off now.
I'm not lying my ass off. I will put my own on a Bible.
No, you won't.
If God is my witness, if you see that,
you're going to go straight to hell. No, you won't. You're going to go straight to hell.
I don't want to take over the conversation, you guys keep going, man.
you have a bad record of picking people, so I don't want to use your record.
You have a worse record.
I do. I do.
Yes, you do. Yes. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about this fight that happened today, man. with the Cowboys and the Raiders.
That's easy. Don't come to Oakland. Start nothing. You ain't ready to finish. That's simple.
So what happened was Moreborn hit somebody hard, slammed. I don't know if he slammed into the ground or something like that. I think he did, and walked over him like he's his boss or something like that. And so some of the players from the Raiders got mad, and a fight ensued, and then something happened at the end where one of the Oakland fans used a helmet or whatnot. Oakland fans used a helmet to hit one of the Cowboys players, and then the Cowboys players pushed the Oakland fan or whatnot. It was a fight going on there, too. So what do you think about that? Do you think it's a good thing to have fans that close to the field for practice? Let's start with you, Wiley.
I think it's ridiculous that you are having fights in a scrimmage, personally, because, all you're doing is pissing off your coaches. That team was nice enough to come and schedule a practice or a scrimmage at your home, and then you want to go and do some dumb shit? I think you should be benched for the next preseason game for that dumb shit. And no, I don't think you should take the fans away from the scrimmages. It is what makes them want to buy those season tickets. So, if anything, it's the players' fault. It ain't the fans' fault.
But what I'm saying is, one of those fans came out and hit one of the Cowboys players. And my thing is, man, if you're a fan, man, you shouldn't be out there. If you don't expect to get knocked out, you shouldn't try to attack a player, man. And some people are saying the player took it out of line by pushing the guy back in the stands and whatnot. But I'm like, man, that guy in the stands stepped over the line by going over the barricade and hitting the guy with a helmet.
No, you got to understand something, Clausell. You are called a professional for a reason, which means you are supposed to carry yourself a certain way. And you are supposed to understand how you are supposed to handle yourself in situations of that sort. And the one thing that a professional should understand is you never do something stupid to a fan, ever.
But yeah, but the fans are right on the fan
it
crossed
doesn't matter.
His line.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Put him above the barricade. It does two matter. Shoot.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't
What's
matter.
Your take on this, Shot-Town? What's your take on this, Shot-Town?
It's a situation, I guess, dude. I mean, at the same time, dude coming hitting here. I get what Tony's saying, but shoot, I mean, hey, there's a thing yourself. Someone started attacking hitting you, knock their butt back.
Exactly, man. That fan should have got knocked out, man, by putting his hands on him. I don't care. He's from Oakland or not. I could care less where he's from.
And then you get sued. And then you get sued for $1 million.
Yep. I mean, like I say, I see.
They got it on tape, though.
You know,
so hey, you know.
I see what you're talking about, but you have to. There's a thing called opportunity cost. Every opportunity you take is going to cost you something. So you could A, shrug off a fan hitting you on the helmet, which didn't hurt you anyway, or you could B, rush your ass up in the stands, like Tony said, risk getting a lawsuit and risk getting suspended, not to mention risk getting, I don't know what some fans in the stands have. Somebody could have a knife. This is a preseason, this is a scrimmage preseason game, so they're not batting people down like they are at the stadium, you know? I don't know what's going on. Like I said, you get up there in a fan, and what if you get up there and tear his ACL and his season's over? You know, I mean, certain situations. You know, I'm all in favor of don't put your hands on anybody, but certain situations you got to use your mind.
You have to be a professional. That's why you're called a professional.
Andrew should have got knocked out, man.
That's why I said you can't hate on Cam Newton for trying to do what he has to do to make, you know, to put himself in a positive light. You can't hate on that.
Hey, Mike, did you get that quote?
You can't compare those two. You can't compare that. That's not the same comparison.
Hey, Mike, did you get that quote?
Huh?
Did you get that quote?
What's that?
Oh, you want me to tell you what it is? Because I know Clauzel got it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Jameis Winston's direct quote was, "I feel like we have some similar qualities. Obviously, he's better, but KB going from me to Cam, that's amazing." That's a direct quote. Obviously, he's better. Obviously.
That's obvious to anybody not named Clauzel Mathis.
Exactly. Obviously, he's better. Hello. He said it himself.
But, you know,
okay.
According to Clauzel, Jameis Winston's already a top five passer in the NFL, so.
He's already in the Hall of Fame.
I can't say he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. It depends if he wants to play football full time or not.
Come on now, if he's a top five quarterback, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute, hold on, Clauzel. What do you mean play football full time? What else do you think he's going to do?
He may want to play baseball.
Oh, damn, here we go with Superman.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into that. That's too much insanity. That's way too much insanity. But like we were saying, I mean, these players, you know, certain situations, you got to keep a clear head. You know, that's like if you're at school, you know, say you're a teacher, there's a difference between, you know, a high school kid hitting you and a third grade kid hitting you. You know, a high school kid, yeah, you're going to have to defend yourself. A third grader, you know, that's like how, you know, when they say they just now tase an 8-year-old girl in school because she assaulted her teacher or whatever, then the teacher called the police. That's silly, you know. And not saying that the teacher doesn't have a right to protect herself, but you know, certain situations you can make the situation worse basically. And that's players going into the stands. That's what you got security for. You know, let them handle your lightweight. You know, that's what they're there for. You know,
absolutely. You know, be a professional. Be a professional.
You wanna go fuck? I keep telling people, if all these players are that tough, go box. Tell Floyd Mayweather if you're that tough. There's $40 million involved in it. Go knock out Vladimir Klitschko if you're a good fighter. You know, but when you bring that up, all these fighters they don't want to fight no more.
Yeah, they don't seem to understand how that works. You talk all that stuff, you know, all these MMA fighters talk about they so tough, then go and stop making that $60,000 a fight and go fight Mayweather. See, real money since you so tough.
Oh, that's what else I wanted to ask you guys about. I don't want to get off too far of the subject. Did you guys see the that footage of John Bones Jones and that other dude, that interview they did, and they caught up, they recorded him with the hot mic. Bones Jones was talking.
Yeah, I see it.
You saw that, Mike?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
All promotional. Get people to go see the fight, but the fight's postponed because he got a leg injury and stuff like that. I think his knee or something. So now it's gonna be moved to. I think they said it's gonna be in. I think December or January. Just like boxing.
Hello? Where'd everybody go? How'd everybody get quiet?
Well, I'm good, man. Well, okay, let's say this. Let's get into this. Let's get into this. All right. I'm going to try not to talk about Jameis. But let's just talk about Florida's Jameis Winston. Do you think...
Why don't we talk about the NFL a little bit? We ain't talked about the NFL. Can we stop talking about crab legs?
Yeah, we can do NFL. I wanted to bring this subject up later. Let's see. Do I want to talk about this now? No, I want to talk about this later in overtime because this kind of gets into the area where we were talking about earlier. They just released the top. ESPN just released their top offenses and their top defenses. The Kansas City Chiefs have the second rated defense right behind the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's number one, and Kansas City's number two. I think I asked you guys about this before. I don't know if I got everybody's answer though. I mean, what do you guys eyes on Kansas City, man? I mean, I think this is a team. I mean, I looked at their preseason game. I mean, I saw, you know, I wasn't really big on them getting DeAnthony Thomas, but, you know, dude showed that he could play in the league. You know, he took his first touch to the house. I mean, do you guys, I mean, could this be a team that comes out from, I mean, this is basically a team that all they would have had to do was beat the Denver Broncos and they would have been in the Super Bowl, you know? So, I mean.
Kansas City Chiefs winning the AFC West this year.
You think that you got them going to? No. Who do you have going to the Super Bowl?
You want me to give you all my predictions? Here we go. The eight divisions. I got New England, Green Bay, San Francisco, Kansas City, New Orleans Saints, Pittsburgh Steelers, Indianapolis Colts, and Washington Redskins. And then I got the Saints winning the Super Bowl. And now I'm on the record. August the 14th. Mm. Mark it.
I don't want to say my predictions right now, but I will say I like the Saints.
I don't want to say my either.
I'm going to say this. I think Drew Brees, I think dude might throw for 6,000 yards this year.
Mark it. I got him on the record.
I do got the winner of the division, though. I got the winner of the South, NFC South.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have a historic season this year. Something's telling me. I really like the Saints this year. I don't want to give my predictions yet. I want to keep a couple, but I like Brandon Cooks, man. I can't wait to see what him and Drew Brees are going to do together. So,
amen. I'm telling you, they have retooled that offense. Yeah. They have changed that offense around, and I'm telling you, the Saints are the team to beat.
Now, the only question mark I have about them is that running game with your boy Mark Ingram there, but even Ingram kind of looked kind of good this preseason. So I don't, you know, well, from what I've seen this preseason. So, you know, they're going to be tough, man. They're going to be tough this year.
I got them going to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, this is not really a prediction, but I see Kansas City being the team they go against in the Super Bowl because Kansas City is going to win that AFC West. The only reason Denver did what Denver did last year is because nobody expected anything from Peyton Manning last year. Peyton Manning was going in the sixth, seventh round of fantasy drafts last year because of his neck. Nobody knew what he was going to do. Nobody knew how it was going to turn out. And then they got out there and started blowing people up, and everybody was surprised. But this year, there is no surprise. Everybody going into Denver knowing what they got to do. And I'm going to tell you, how many times have I told you when Peyton gets under pressure, he folds? And this year, that's what's going to happen. Now that everybody know what they're looking for, Peyton in trouble. And Denver will not win the AFC West.
You know, another team, it's funny you mentioned that. I did an early draft, early NFL draft, one of my fantasy leagues. Tom Brady has been going really late in a lot of these drafts. And the Patriots, I think they had either the third or fourth rated defense coming into this year. So they could be another team that surprises people, too. I wouldn't sleep on New England.
I agree.
But, you know, because, you know, they really haven't, you know, signed any big wide receivers or anything like that. But, you know, that could be another team that surprises people. So I wouldn't sleep on them either.
But my surprise of the season is the Washington Redskins. And I'm going to put it on the record right now. The Dallas Cowboys are going to do better than anybody expect this year. They will make the playoffs. I guarantee it. I said it right here, right now. Right here, right now.
So I ain't seeing that.
Mm.
You cannot have a team that is completely built with that much talent on it for all of these years and not eventually have that stuff gel. It's like Jell-O. Eventually, it's going to gel and they're going to come together. Statistically, it's coming. In the next couple of years, Dallas is going to have a good team. I mean, it's just inevitable. They have too much talent not to pull through eventually.
They have lost some guys, though, but they are a very talented team. I mean, what about their running game, though? You're sold on DeMarco Murray?
Absolutely not. I think that's probably one of their biggest weaknesses on offense, not the biggest. The biggest is the person that is under the center, but they can do a lot better at running back. They could draft better at running back.
It's weird. Dallas, you know, traditionally with, you know, Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett, they're a team that always has strong running back. It seemed like they really haven't had a running back. I mean, they had Marion, I forget what his name is, but they had Marion Barber, and he was half decent, but they really haven't had a running back since Emmitt, man. They had Julius Jones, he wasn't that good.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that your boy Jerry Jones, who has been in love with Tony Romo and has arrogantly put him in and kept him there, is finally realizing that it's Romo that's killing his team. And I think he done took Romo aside and said, I'm going to give you one more chance, son. If you don't do something soon, I'm going to have to get rid of you. And I think that fire under Romo's ass is going to make the difference in the Dallas Cowboys this year.
Well, yeah, that might be true. You remember he said they were close to drafting Manziel. So,
yeah.
You know?
I really think he don't took him aside and said, you know I love you. You know I promised you I was going to keep you in there, but you fucking up. And if you don't do it this year, I'm going to have to make some changes.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see, man. I mean, Dallas is one of the teams, you know, like you said, they've got talent, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. You know, they lost some pieces. Sean Lee, I think he's out for the season, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Lee's out for the season. So, you know, they're gonna, you know, they do have pieces in place. I'll say that. They have pieces in place. They can make the playoffs. I don't know if I can say that, you know, they're a Super Bowl contender, but they could definitely...
Exactly. That's not what I said. I didn't say they were Super Bowl. What I said is they have a good enough team, and statistically speaking, they have had really good teams for, like, the last 6 years, and they keep finding ways to screw up. Statistically speaking, they're going to have to find one of those years where it all comes together. And I see that happening in the next couple of years, either this year or next year. It's all going to come together for them. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But I'm telling you, there comes a time when you got all that talent and you spending all that money, eventually it is going to come together.
Some teams, you know, I mean, we've seen teams like this before. Dallas could very well be a team that they miss their window of opportunity. You know, every team, you know, just because they get that talent, some teams they miss that window. You know, usually most teams only have about a 5 or 6 year window. You know, when they can really win a Super Bowl or a world title. You know, Dallas, now that they've they lost DeMarcus Ware, they might be coming at the end of that, you know, at the end of that at that window. So
I think they still have all the pieces, though. They got good receivers. They got a great tight end. I mean, as far as tight ends go, they got a really solid tight end. They got a above average running back. I'm not going to say he's a great running back, but they've got all the pieces. They have a solid defense, and their offensive line is solid enough. If Tony Romo can just not screw up in those critical moments and they get over that hump, Dallas is going to be hard to beat.
What do you guys think about now that we're kind of getting toward? Okay, by the way, we're about to get into overtime. So if anybody's listening, if you guys want to be able to call in, you need to call in now 347-238-5539. In about 8 minutes, we're going to get into overtime. I want to go ahead and broach this question while we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Orlando Scandrick, Drea's boyfriend. Supposedly, Drea gave him Molly, and dude tested positive for Molly, and he's about to be suspended. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I'm just shocked. She still keeps getting these dudes in the league. Who has she been? She dated Chris Brown. Didn't she date somebody else who was famous?
Yeah, sure. I think she has a kid by Gilbert Arenas or something like that, I think.
I'm like, these dudes be dating these women that hadn't been with all these other guys, man. But it is what it is,
but
man. I mean, he shouldn't have been messed.
Who pops Molly during the season, though? I mean, isn't that insane?
I don't know what Molly is, to be honest with you.
It's supposed to be like a version of ecstasy, I guess, that has crack in it or something. I don't know. It's supposed to be close to crack or something like that. I don't know all what it is either, but I know I keep hearing rappers talk about popping Molly in all their songs, so. You know, I know it's supposed to be like a mix between ecstasy and crack or something like that, but it's not good. And it's nothing you would give to somebody who you love. But so, you know, they say this chick gave him some Molly and he tested positive for it. I don't know. It's just you know, see, like I said, that's why you don't want.
That's called a pussy nigga. That's what that's called. He a pussy nigga. Any nigga that would sacrifice his $1 million career over a bitch is crazy.
Have you seen Drea, Tony?
Yeah, I know what she looked like, but I don't care what she looked like. I don't care how fine she is. She ain't worth a $1 million contract.
That's true. I don't know, man.
That is true.
You know, like I said, I mean, Carvel, once again, that's why, you know, once again, you can't get mad at Cam Newton, man. He's trying to protect his brand.
But they were saying Cam Newton was dating a stripper. They said Cam Newton was dating a stripper.
Who said that? Who?
There was a rumor on Black Sports Online.
When? Recently?
No, it wasn't recently, like about a year ago.
No, I never heard of that. I thought Cam had been...
Her girlfriend's, hold on, no, her name is Hazel or something. I'm going to post the link up right now. She's a former stripper.
I thought Cam is it been confirmed? Because I thought Cam had been with that same girl he'd always been with.
No, it ain't. I got the link right now. I posted. I shared it with all y'all.
I really don't care what athletes do in their personal life, but when you stupid enough to do something illegal over a girl, you are a dumbass.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
Ain't no girl in the world worth losing your multi-million-dollar contract over for one night of sex. Even marrying the hoe ain't worth it.
So, I mean, what do you think about the Ray Rice situation? And do you think he should have, married that girl?
What do you mean by that?
Well, he had a domestic violence issue with her, and then later on they got married.
Okay, but you really can't say that Ray Rice married her because of the domestic violence. They could really love each other, and they just got into a, sometimes love gets emotional. I mean, it happens. He could have really loved that girl enough to want to marry her. You cannot say that he married her just to try to make things right for that little fight he had, because you don't know how he honestly felt about her. But at the same time, you don't go and just throw your career away just because you're trying to impress some dumb hoe. Are you kidding me? I don't care how fine she is. Ain't no pussy that fine. None.
And if they, once again, with the Ray Rice situation, don't know what happened. We don't, all we know that is an altercation took place.
Exactly. And you don't know nothing about it, and you don't know how he honestly feels. They could really love each other, and it was just one of those moments. Sometimes shit like that happens.
I mean, I think if he was in a different position, I think he might speak more out about it. But I think right now, he's just I kind of agree with Vic. I think he's just going into concession mode, and he's just conceding that he did something wrong just to try to make it go away.
Exactly. That's the best thing to do, though. Okay, yeah, I did something wrong. Yeah, I'm admitting it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Can we move on?
Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to do now. I think, technically, like I said, he could fight it, but it would only make it a bigger deal than what it
is. It'll just drag it out.
Yeah. But, it's like I say, now that we're in overtime, this stuff, like I say, no matter what people say, this stuff is racially charged. I waited a couple of weeks. I put it on Facebook. I waited a couple of weeks to see if the media would try to make a big deal about it. Tim McGraw slapped a woman at his concert and was caught on camera doing it. And nobody made a big deal about it because they say she tried to grab his pants or something like that.
And you broke up. I didn't understand what you said.
And Tim McGraw slapped a woman at his concert because she tried to, grab his pants or something like that. And the media did not make a big deal about it. We didn't hear women's groups talking about it. Basically, like I said, it became a non-subject. But once again, you have an altercation with a black man, that becomes front-page news. I mean, how many people even knew who the hell Ray Rice was before this situation? Non-football fans knew who he was before this situation.
I agree, but at the same time, Tony Stewart just killed a man, and they playing it down like it wasn't no big deal. Let that have been
okay,
a black man.
Okay, I want to breach that too. Tony Stewart. Does anybody on this panel think that was not intentional?
I don't know how intentional it was to hit him, but I think he revved up his engine to scare him or say fuck you. And the car hit him. I don't think he intentionally hit him, but I think he tried to give him a fuck you. You know what I mean? One of those.
Okay. The thing is though, from what I've read from different guys who race those cars, when you rev those cars up,
it causes the car to torque and it causes it to fishtail. You know, so they're saying, you know, like I said, there's been different, you know, and like I said, that's been the consensus from every driver. You know, they said, you know, it's not, you know, he revved it up. You can clearly hear that and see it.
Absolutely. You know, he definitely revved it.
And everybody's saying that all those drivers know that the way those cars are built, they have so much torque that when you rev it, the torque causes you to fishtail, you know, because it's so powerful in the rear. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's intense. You know, like I said, that's something else that's kind of getting, you know, not getting the attention that it should get. I mean, I don't know about full-fledged murder charges, but, I mean, damn. I mean, at least manslaughter. I mean, what do you guys think? Manslaughter?
Yeah, manslaughter, involuntary.
Vehicular homicide.
I mean, could this be protected? I know, okay, let's say this. I know that they have certain provisions to protect, you know, like if you're a boxer and you accidentally killed a boxer you're fighting, or even if you're a racer and you crash against someone and they die in the crash, they can't sue, you know what I mean? You can't be held liable. But, I mean, because
this doesn't fall under that insurance.
So, but they would have to prove malicious intent, though. Do you think there's enough evidence to prove that, you know, what he did was, you know, intentional and with malice?
Well, the thing is, if it went to court, the guy getting out of the car and jumping in the middle of a race car track is going to be culpable. I mean, that's just common sense. So as far as Tony Stewart being guilty, he's not going to be guilty because the man ran out into the middle of a race car track while a race was going on. So, you know, that is the defense where they are not going to prosecute him because he's got an easy case to win. But at the same time, the man is still wrong. You don't just blow it off because you can. I mean, what's going on right now is they know he is worth too much money to NASCAR for them to do anything to him. If you get rid of Tony Stewart, you get rid of $1 billion worth of money coming in to NASCAR every year because you lose his fans, you lose his team, you lose all the advertising, you lose all the merchandising, you lose it all, and they know that. And Tony Stewart cannot be lost. That's why they're blowing it under the rug.
Why do you think the media is not picking up on, I mean, why is the media not blowing this stuff up?
That's my problem. I can't put my finger on that, but I'm telling you right now, you let that have been any black, let an NFL player have done that. He ain't even a race car driver. It'd be on every television. It'd be on ESPN 24/7. ESPN ain't even talking about this.
You think do you think they're not talking about it because maybe they don't want to sue, you know, maybe they don't want to counter lawsuit, or you think it's just a whitewash or what?
I can't really say that. All I can say, you know, they're talking about, well, we're going to wait for the investigation. Even when you're waiting for the investigation for everything else, you're waiting for the investigation for Hernandez right now. That don't stop you from doing all these CNN things and having all these specials on Aaron Hernandez and all this other shit. But you're waiting for the investigation.
That's a good-ass point. That's a good point. I mean, are they even going to suspend for the time being?
Like I said, I don't know. For me, that's a problem for me because, you know, okay, yeah, you assume that Hernandez killed somebody and you think you have the proof, but you are innocent until proven guilty, but the media has completely made this guy guilty. I'm not saying he's not guilty, but the media has already condemned him. You saw Tony Stewart run that dude over. You saw it with your own eyes. Yet everybody is just acting like, well, we need to wait. We need to wait. Wait for what? Another picture? Another video? Another angle? You saw it. I just think there's a double standard. I really do. Some people, and again, I'm not saying it's definitely a black and white thing. It's a superstar thing. Like, for example, had Michael Jordan went and done some craziness, he'd have got out of it. Look at Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, everybody, come on now. Y'all know Ray Lewis should be in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
don't even give me that. Everybody that anybody knows Ray Lewis should be in prison. Ray Lewis should have never played another day of NFL football. But you know what? They were not going to lose that kind of money in Baltimore. And they did everything they had to do to make sure that got dismissed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Any other nigga from the hood would be in jail, in prison right now, and you know it.
With the current, you know, tension with race relations and everything that's going on in this country right now, if somebody possibly brought the, you know, that aspect into this Tony Stewart thing, do you think that might force them to act upon it? You know, like force the NASCAR or force them to press charges?
But you can't bring race into an issue that is an all-white issue. You got to realize NASCAR is 100% white. So, you know, if they're handling it through NASCAR, then bringing the race issue in it is just not going to work, because none of those groupies, none of those people, none of that organization is going to accept it. They're not going to accept you bringing race into this. They're not going to do it.
By the way, what do you think about the situation that's going on in Ferguson?
Oh, wow. Wow. I think it's a community thing. I think it's a problem that is a local problem. And I think that it's getting way too much media. And that's the only reason why it's still going on. Because had the media not been there, you know as well as I do, they'd have shut that shit down 2 days ago.
Do you think there needs to be some type of legislation, maybe?
For what?
I don't want to say protect black men from police, but damn. I mean, what can we do? You know, what can be done?
Nothing. Well,
people don't seem to understand. They call themselves the Fraternal Order of Police for a reason. The Fraternal Order of the Police means they are a brotherhood. In a brotherhood, there is a code. I am my brother's keeper. And I am telling you now, no policeman is going to turn his back on his brother. Why? Because you don't know when it's going to be you. So it's one of those situations of where violence by the police is always going to be covered up by other police, because they're a brotherhood, they're a fraternity, and that's how they do things. The only time that it's ever not covered up is when it's caught on camera. Other than that, and still on camera, they find a way to cover it up. just like the dude in New York, who you clearly seen get choked to death, they came out and said he did not die from being choked. Are you kidding me? Everybody in America saw how that man died.
It bothers me with all these shootings. Have you ever noticed that with all these police shootings, they always try to say that the black man charges them while they have their gun out? Who runs towards somebody that's pointing a gun at them?
Unless they're on crack or something. Now, there are some mentally ill people, and there are some people that are on drugs that are doing very irrational things. But a rational person would never charge, act like they've got a gun, pick up something, or do anything towards another person that already has a weapon pulled. No rational person on earth would do that.
And that's the word they always use to charge. You know, he charged that. It's like, who charges? You know what? You know. Because for everybody who doesn't know, that's what they're saying happened. They're saying that, this is a story from what I've heard. The officer said he was responding to another crime in the area or something.
You're talking about the Ferguson, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Brown and his friend were in the way of the officer's car, and they refused to move. The officer then said that somehow Michael Brown tackled him while he was still in his car, and that he was pummeling him into his seat, which, from what they're showing, this Michael Brown dude, he's a big dude like me. I don't see how, and the officer looked like he was a big dude too. I don't see how two big grown-ass men could fit in the front seat of a car. But, you know, that's just me. So he said he pummeled him into the front seat of his car. The officer said he pulled out his gun and shot while they were in the car. He said Michael Brown backed up and said something like, "Oh my God, you're trying to you shot at me." Then he said, while he still had his gun pointed at Brown, that he charged at him and that the officer had to shoot him. Now,
but there was another report that said he shot him from 45 feet away.
Exactly. And from what it looked like from the end parts of the video, that might be what it looked like. And they said he was shot 8 to 10 times.
Well, I mean, they said in the official report, there's somewhere in the official report where that says he was about 40 to 45 feet away.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you've got very conflicting statements about where he was, when he was, and how he got 45 feet away from you when you had to start shooting again.
And why? Why
happened in a car, then how did he get 45 feet away from you?
And why would a kid with no criminal record going off to college just all of a sudden attack a police officer? You know why? You know what? You know, and he was, like I said, they were not there for Michael Brown. They were not there for him. He was on his way to somewhere else.
I don't know. Hey David.
What's good?
Man, you got something to say on this?
What's the question?
Talking about the Michael Brown Ferguson situation.
I mean, it's fucked up, but I mean, it's not. That shit happens on a regular basis. They just choked dude in New York, so I mean, I don't know what to tell people. That's how they getting down out here.
I mean, what do you think that can be done about it, if anything, though?
I mean, my thing is, like, I don't think there's an acute short-term solution to it. I think there's a long-term solution to it, but nobody is interested in the solution until something like this happens. So I think that's the biggest issue, is that there's a long-term solution to police violence, regardless of what organization they're part of, because they are, the sheriff is an elected person and the other police are employees. So it's not like they're their own private army.
Mm-hmm.
But the short-term solution is what people want to get involved in, but you can't stop police from doing the type of stuff they're doing with a short-term solution. It's a long-term solution, and understanding how the laws are created in this country and who actually controls the police department. And until we start dealing with on that level, these people can do whatever the hell they want to do, because there's nothing those people can do back to the police. There's nothing you can do. And the level in which you can affect what the police do, we don't have enough black people that want to get on that level. They're not interested in that. So they can,
exactly.
They can keep knocking on black people, because there's not going to be no repercussion for their actions. And they know
exactly.
That. So that's just how it is, because black people just want to start talking about the solutions to these type of situations when somebody gets killed. But you need to have the solutions. You need to be working on solutions when nobody's getting killed. So it's just going to keep happening. I just hope that if that was my son, I'd be in prison a day or two, because I ain't going out like that. But that's just David. So that's my thing, is I worry about if I have a kid or a son, what's going to happen if they try to do my son like that? Because I'm not in the world I'm going out like that. You ain't just going to shoot my son in the middle of the street and I'm just going to say we're going to take this shit to court. I don't move like that. I don't give a fuck. But that's what those people feel like they have to do, because they don't have any other recourse. But I wouldn't go out like that, because I know I ain't going to get no justice.
I think that maybe we need to get back, you know, back like how we used to be in the day, and basically how other communities are too, you know, to where you kind of police yourself to where you don't need that much police interference in the first place. You know, I think that if we take that power, you know, of being able to put us behind bars or treat us how they want to treat us in the first place away from them, you know, put some more, you know, like I say, you know, we get out, you know, like I say, something happens in the Asian community, you know, they don't necessarily call the police. They got elders, they got people that go and handle their own business, you know? Black folks.
But David has made a very, very good point. And the point is this. The problem is a systematic problem. And it's a systematic problem in the fact that the laws that are being created, especially on the local, city, county level, are truly targeted laws, truly targeted. Like here in Florida, where Ocala, Florida, has just passed a law that says you can literally be arrested for wearing saggy pants. The Constitution of the United States of America gives you the right to freedom of expression and freedom of speech. You should be able to wear your clothes any damn way you want to wear it. If they can have nude beaches, how are you going to tell somebody they can't wear their clothes sagging? That makes no damn sense. But they just passed a law that says if you do it, you can go to jail. That is a systematic problem, and it's not going to change as long as you're not part of the people writing the systematic laws. And that is the truth.
I agree with that, but a lot of people get fooled into kind of – a lot of black people were actually believing in that shit, you know? A lot of black people were actually supporting that. You know, on Facebook, I would see people supporting it. And I
don't care how much you don't like it. Everybody has their own freedoms in America. You can't tell another man how to dress. That's like saying you can't let a man dress in drag. You can't tell that man how to dress. If that man wants to wear a dress, that's his business. You can't tell me that I have to wear a belt. You can't tell me that my pants can't do whatever. That's my business. That is called expression. I am expressing myself in the way that I want to express myself in my dress. That is a constitutional right. You can't tell me I can't do that. Yet right now, they are passing these laws in a lot of places where if you are sagging your pants, first you get a ticket, second you get a ticket, then you go to jail. In Ocala, on the first time you can go to jail. That's crazy. That is just, that is absolutely crazy.
I agree. Well, my question is, when are we going to see the Tony Whatley campaign?
Again, I promise you, there will be a day when Tony Whatley gets into politics. But right now is not the time.
Honestly, I
with all this dirt you have right here on this show?
What?
All these cuss words and stuff you've been saying on this show?
Tony Whatley is going to be talking about, I really, you know what? When I run, I don't care if they bring this all out. You know why? Because I'm going to be me to begin with. If that means I never get elected, I'm coming for real. I'm going to be who I am, and I'm telling them.
I think Tony should do it, man. I mean, think about it. Like I said, think about it. Y'all didn't know Bobby was a senator, and he's a wrestler.
I'm bringing it. I'm not coming fake. I'm not coming out there to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. I'm going to be who I am. I got my credentials. I got my degrees. I've got my experience. I've got everything I need. If you don't like how I talk, then vote for somebody else. But I'm going to keep it real. And just like I'm keeping it real on this radio station, I'm going to keep it real with them elected officials.
I don't know if you were on the show last week, but you know, one of our friends we went to FAM with is a senator out of Palm Beach.
I heard you guys.
Yeah, you know,
like I said, there is going to come a time.
He's a wrestler.
There is going to come a time when I am going to get politically active. That time is not at present, but it will come. And anybody that wants to bring these back up, they can bring them back up. I don't pretend to be nobody. I am who I am, and I'm going to be this same person when I run for office. If you don't like it, then don't vote for me. But the bottom line is, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to call a spade a spade. I'm going to call a racist, and I'm going to call a nigger a nigger.
Oh, shit.
That's what we really need. We need some real people as elected officials that are going to go up there and honestly stand for the people instead of sitting up there trying to kiss ass.
Well, I mean, we do have a lot of black politicians in place. I mean, do you think it's maybe some of them get too used to the political system?
The problem is you have a lot of black politicians that were elected in majority-minority districts, which means they are put there just because they're black, and because they were sit there just because they were black, when they get up there in the legislature, when they get up there in Congress, and when they get up there in the Senate, they are such a minority that nobody pays them any attention. They are irrelevant. Why? Because anything and everything can be passed without them. And the only time they have any relevancy is when it comes time for something to be done in their district. And then all of a sudden, people want to say, okay, we need this, we need that. But it's because of the minority-majority districts. I have always been opposed to minority-majority districts. And black people have always been for minority-majority districts because for them, they see that black face, and that black face matters. But to me, it ain't about the black face. It's about the power behind the face. And if you get isolated over in a corner just because you're a black face, then you still ain't doing nothing.
But, I mean, all their votes are equal, though, right?
No, all their votes. The majority rules. So if you've got, let's say there's 100 legislators, and you need 51 to pass anything, and you've already got 53 that have nothing to do with the black community, you don't need that 54th or that 55th or that 56th that are black people. You've already got enough to pass what you need. Now, yeah, they can come and jump on, but you don't really need them. And since you don't really need them, you don't really care what they got to say.
Okay. What about like the how they do it? They form like what is it, a caucus or whatever?
Yeah. Like for example, the Congressional Black Caucus in Congress. They want to think that they're powerful, but in actuality, 90% of the members of Congressional Black Caucus are in Congress because they represent minority-majority districts, which means they only represent black people. And because they only represent black people, the rest of them white folks up there don't give a shit about what they think.
What I'm saying, though, is are there enough members in the black caucus to sway a vote, yay or nay?
Absolutely. But the thing is, in your party, everybody pretty much votes the same way anyway. Like, you know, all Democrats vote for Democratic bills. All Republicans vote for Republican bills. All Democrats vote against Republican bills, and all Republicans vote against Democratic bills. I mean, that's the way politics has gotten to this point, where it's us against them, and anything they do, we hate, and anything we do, we like.
Okay, now, as a Democrat, don't you think it would be more beneficial for black people to be independent then?
No, what would be better is instead of having one super minority-majority district spread out all over like 12 counties, you take those same people, you divide them into four or five different counties, you make them 25%, 20-25% of each one of those counties, and then as 20 and 25% of the vote, they have to cater to you. Why? Because 20% of the vote turns the vote. And that means they have to start listening to you, they have to start addressing your issues, and they have to start being ready to focus on the things that are important to you. But as long as they can group you all into one district and then push you to the side, they don't care what's going on in your district. Why? Because until they need you, you don't matter. Whereas if you're in everybody's district, they don't have any choice but to listen to you, because you can go to them and say, as 20%, if you don't listen to us, come election day, you're going to wish you had.
That's interesting talk. I didn't, you know. For all but see,
black people don't see the bigger picture. They don't see the dynamics and the statistics of it. All they see is, well, if you do that, then those four people from those four districts could be white people, and then they're not going to represent us. No, if you're 20% of that district, even the white man's got to represent you to keep his job. But what they care about is, I want to see a black face.
Yeah, Tony, what you're saying is 100% accurate, but the issue is that a lot of us, even black people with education, they don't have the political sophistication to understand what you're talking about.
Right.
What you're saying is 100% correct, but they don't have that, because like you said, they've been conditioned to believe that if it's a black face up, then that means that person is representing me, and they don't understand how those black faces have been marginalized because they're all in one area.
Absolutely.
They only care to you when they need something, but you can't. You know, you can't tell black people that. Even black people.
Exactly.
You can't tell them that. You can't tell them that. Because what you're saying is 100% correct. But you can never, you know, you yourself is not trying to make a negative statement, but you're not going to be able to sell that to black people because they don't want to hear that shit.
Absolutely. You will never, like I said, they will never agree with my position on minority majority districts. Never. Why? Because to them, the black face matters than the power.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't realize that it got to be something behind that black face, and that's what...
Exactly.
Yeah, because I guarantee you that Ferguson has black people elected from a political standpoint. They have black people elected from that area, but they don't have any power.
None.
So they can go in there, they can shoot kids and do whatever and roll the damn army out for whatever reason in your neighborhood, and there's nothing the politician can do about it. It's like you said, the Congressional Black Caucus. Almost all those people represent poor black districts.
Exactly.
They have no political, no economic power. So it doesn't matter that they're elected. It doesn't matter. But you're 100% correct, but you can't tell black people that.
Exactly, and that's my biggest problem is I don't, you know, everybody keeps telling me I need to run, but I don't want to run in a majority district. Why? Because I'm against majority districts. I don't believe it's fair. I think the whole thing of drawing districts and allocating districts to places needs to be redone by the Constitution so that you have a much more equal representative minority in each group. Like 20%, if you've got 13% black people in your county, then you need to have 13% of representative in your legislature. Yeah. They need to be 13% of the vote. That type of thing. I think it should be more like that than to have some majority district. And I'm just not going to run in some majority district just because I'm a black man. That's not who I am. But some people want to call that conservative.
No, but see, it doesn't make sense because if you run from that standpoint, you're not going to have any power because the people backing you up don't have no money.
Absolutely.
You have no money. So you just, you can go to whatever House of Representatives or to the Congress or whatever, but you don't have no political power because the people that got you, they don't have nothing.
Absolutely, and that's what people don't understand. They see these black people in Congress, and they think, yeah, he ain't doing nothing. He a puppet.
Yeah, he ain't doing nothing. Because the people that got him, they don't have nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're 100% right, but she can't tell black folks that.
Exactly.
Tell them. They won't listen to that shit.
So, Tony, to change this system, you said it would have to be changed in the Constitution?
No, I said that the thing is, every 10 years, we have a census. Once the once you have the census, they redraw all electoral maps across the country. In every state, in every county, in every city. And what happens is, because of this whole minority-majority district, the white folks, when they have to go and draw these new districts, all they do is they figure out the streets where the black people live, draw a bigger circle around that street, and add it to the already minority-majority district. And that's how they say, oh, well, it's redrawn. But what they've done is, in the last 10 years, there's been another neighborhood where black people moved into, and all they do is they just add that neighborhood to the old map. So that nothing really changed. And then the two or three new electoral spots, they make it into their Republican or their Democratic spots for that white man, and that's just two or three more white men or women added to your Congress or added to your state legislature or added to wherever you are doing your politics at the time. That is how it really works. I mean, it ain't nice, it ain't good, but it's the truth.
Wow. That's something. I did not know that. Oof, man. That's dirty bull right there, man. I don't even know what to say about that.
That's why you see the same black folk that have been in Congress, still in Congress for 20 and 30 and 40 years, is because they represent the exact same district that they represented the first time they got elected. And once they're there, the way black people do it is, that's my man. And they, as long as he wants to run, he gonna win. Just like Charlie Rangel. Look at Charlie Rangel in New York. Charlie Rangel got caught stealing money, espionage, all kinds of shit. He should have went to prison, much less not getting reelected. And he got reelected by 85%.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's a damn shame.
because they got, you know, their loyalty is to that person no matter what he does. And then when he goes and really does something illegal, like any other person's doing something illegal, they blame it on the white man. Oh, it's just the white man trying to set him up. No, that nigga did something illegal. When you do something illegal, you're wrong. Don't just blow everything that a black man does illegal off on the white man. When do we get some accountability for ourselves?
Yeah. I was surprised to find out that damn Marion Barry is still on the city council in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I mean, the man got caught on camera smoking crack as mayor. He got out of prison and got reelected as mayor.
Only in America.
Come on now, that's crazy.
Okay, I mean, so what can be done? I mean, if anything that can be done to change how the way things are. Where do you get?
Like I said, the solution to it is changing how the maps are drawn and redefining how, you know, right now and believe it or not, it's the Civil Rights Act that is causing the problem. People don't want to admit the truth, but that's the truth. The Civil Rights Act is what's causing the problem, because in the Civil Rights Act, it guarantees that so many minorities will get elected to Congress. And because it guarantees that so many minorities will get elected to Congress, then you have to draw these minority majority districts to make sure that that happens. So that it's actually a law that needs to be taken off the books and rewritten to where, instead of guaranteeing that it's a black face, you need to guarantee that the black population is represented appropriately in every single district where there's black people at.
Okay, now does this only apply to black people, or does it apply to all Mexicans and Asians, or what?
Well, minorities. That's why it's called a minority district. They do the same thing for Hispanics. You've got all Hispanic districts also.
Yeah. And do the Hispanics, do they have a caucus like we do?
Absolutely.
That's
there's a black caucus, there's a Hispanic caucus, there's an Asian caucus. They all have caucuses. There's a women's caucus.
It's a lot of stuff about politics I didn't know. I started learning about that that districting stuff a while back, but I really wasn't paying that much attention on it, to tell you the truth. But it makes a lot more sense now, though.
Like David was saying, the problem with black people is we are so damn superficial that all we care about is what we see instead of caring about truly making change. Black people don't care about change as far as systematic. They just care about change as far as they can see it. And change as far as you can see it is not always real change.
I mean, okay, do you think that same thing could be applied to the presidency?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Come on now, let's be real. I voted for Barack Obama. I think he's done a great job as a president of the United States. But how much has Barack Obama done for the African-American community in 6 years? Keep it real. Come on now.
You're right. But black people didn't realize that he wasn't put there to do stuff for us.
Absolutely. He was not elected for the black people.
they don't
seem to understand that.
They don't get that.
Go on and expand on it. Go ahead.
Barack Obama was elected by Democrats. This is white Democrats, white women, Hispanics, everybody else. And He is there to represent the people of the United States of America, not the black people of the United States of America. So when he got into office, he knows that it wasn't just black folks that elected him. If it wasn't for white women, he wouldn't be president. It's that simple. That's why you see all of this women's legislation for Lilly Ledbetter and equal pay and abortion rights and all of this stuff. Why? Because the honest truth is he knows if it wasn't for white women, he would not be president of the United States, because all the white men voted for the Republican. All the black people voted for the black man, and the difference was not independence. The difference was white women. And now that white women has gotten him elected two times, he's paying them back by trying to get all of these white women laws passed.
Well, what do you think about the legislation he just passed? I can't think of the name of it. That thing for black men. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know, but you know the whole gay legislation. That's white women. I know people don't realize that, but when you think of the gay movement and you see who is in charge of the gay movement and the power structure of the gay movement, it's white women, lesbians. They are the strongest part of the gay movement. The whole idea of equal pay, that's white women.
Yeah, it's called My Brother's Keeper. Have you heard of that legislation?
No, I haven't seen it. What is it about?
I really don't know. I know it's something new that he's supposed to be having acted. I just, like I said, I really don't pay. I don't get that much into politics. But, shit. I don't know. I'll look it up. We can maybe talk about it during the next show. But I don't know that. It's called My Brother's Keeper. But I don't know. It's supposed to have been something. And I think they're supposed to have, like, donated, put, like, $200 million towards it or something like that. So I don't know.
But you can best believe now, I'm going to be honest. Like I said, to this point, 6 years in, you ain't seen Barack Obama do a lot for the black community. But I do see him trying or attempting to do something for the black community before he gets out of office. Why? I think he's going to wait for that last year so that everybody can't start complaining to him about how he's focusing on just the black folks and this, that, the other, because look at how he's done it. He went, he took care of all the white women. Now he's trying to work on Hispanics, which is the immigration reform. If he can get all that immigration stuff through, next thing you know, he can focus on the black folks.
Okay, so did it necessarily benefit black people to vote for Obama?
Absolutely. The affordable health care benefits black people.
But I mean, that can say that benefits all people, though, right?
Well, it benefits middle class and lower people, which is the vast majority of black people. So yes, it benefits black people without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't for black people, but it definitely benefits black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and I want to say this, that what I don't get about a lot of black people is that they didn't, as black people, there's no really a lot of black people or black political action groups, political action committees that put money behind Obama.
Right.
Voted for him. Obama is representing people that gave not only him but the Democratic Party money. That's what he
Yeah.
Voted. And black people don't get that. So we just vote for people. Well, we don't realize that politics is not just votes. It's also a game of money.
That is the main game, because the person with the most money wins every time.
Exactly. But see, we don't get that. So we allow people to use our vote, but because so many of us don't understand economics and how that plays into politics, when the person gets elected, then we say, well, they're ignoring us because we don't have any money for them.
Exactly. You didn't really do anything for them.
Exactly, because we don't have any money for them. And so that's why people try to say, like, Obama's anti-business. He's anti-business because he's raised more money than anybody has ever raised in the history of the United States.
Exactly.
He can't be anti-business because businesses are giving Obama money.
Exactly.
That's what people don't understand. So that's why black people, we really don't understand the political situation. When somebody like Tony tries to explain it, we don't want to hear that shit, is that if you don't figure out a way to finance people, why would they represent you?
Absolutely.
Why would they represent if you can't finance them? And if you can get somebody elected and you don't have any money, they don't have any power because their power base, their constituency, is broke people.
Exactly. Because they're targeting and they're catering to those who support them, just financially.
It's financially. But see, we don't get that. We, as black people in the United States, we still don't realize that poor people don't really have a lot of power in this country.
Right.
We still don't get that. So we focus on everything but trying to figure out, and I'm not saying that everybody got to be trying to get money, but none of our people are trying to realize that if we want to influence certain things, we got to be able to put money behind people.
Exactly.
If we want to get Tony Watley elected, if we raise enough money, we're guaranteed to get him elected. We just got
absolutely
money. We're guaranteed to get him elected. Then he represents us because we put him in that position. So he's
exactly
our interest. Black people don't get that. We think, well, Tony Watley's gonna look out for just because he's black. The game don't work that way.
Nope.
But we gonna keep having kids get shot and niggas getting choked out on TV and nothing happen because we still ain't figured out how the game is played.
And until we educate ourselves on how that game works, we are going to stay the loser of the game.
Yeah, we've been losing for a long time. We just ain't figured it out yet.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, I agree with what you're talking about, David, and I think we can also see that, you know, in business, too. Black people, we're afraid to put our money where our mouth is a lot of times. I mean, what can we do to remedy that, though?
I mean, I don't think everybody can do it. I know what I'm doing because I put my money where my mouth is, and people that know me know that. But I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to link with other black people. So if we want to put a guy like Tony Watley, because I want to be able to put money behind politicians because I want to be able to put people in a position that's going to do what I want them to do. So I want to figure out how to find people like Tony Watley that understand the game and can I put money behind them so we can develop a relationship because that's how the game is played.
Absolutely.
The game is not played where you just go and vote for somebody. You also got to have money for these people, okay, so they can look out for you when they get in position. And they want their power base to be strong because then other politicians have to respect them. So I know what I have to do. I know everybody's not cut out to be a business person, so I don't expect that out of them. But so many of our people don't even understand that is the landscape that we're operating under. You know, Obama has raised more money than anybody in the history of American politics to run for president. That means something. And a lot of people don't get that. That's why all that bullshit about he's a socialist and all that, that's bullshit. Because why would Wall Street and pharmaceutical companies give this guy all this money if he was going to be bad for their business? It don't make sense. So that, you know what I'm saying, that's the bullshit that the media tries to get people to believe in. But you look at where the money's going, that's the person that is going to be in position of power, and that's why Obama has won two elections, because he raised the most money both times.
Exactly. And you see that it's also, like he said, it's Wall Street that is supporting him, because look at what Wall Street has done since he's been president. I mean, Wall Street has taken off. It has tripled since he's been president. Why? Because when they scratched his back, he scratched theirs by not adding new regulations on them.
That's good stuff, man. I mean, I think everything that's been said has been, you know, has been absolutely true. It's just, you know, we got, like, you know, like Tony, like, you know, like David said, a lot of shit black people don't want to hear, no matter what, you know? We only like things to go a certain way a lot of times, and, you know, and different thought processes we get, we don't function that well with, you know, different ways of thinking and different ways of looking at things.
The thing is, we care about Real Housewives of Atlanta, and we care about the Shooky Shooky show and twerking, but the second that the news comes on and they start talking about Congress, you turn the channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and truthfully, that might be applied, that, I think you can apply that to the majority of America, too, but black people, our situation necessitates, you know, in the, you know, we need to be more on our game, you know, and unfortunately we're not, you know, for the situation we're in this country.
People don't like to talk about it, but the key way of looking at it is the Jewish community. They have figured out that money is power. Numbers is not power. Money is power. And they have taken their community, collectively put their money together, and they have the power.
They figured that shit out 500 years ago.
Yes. And they teach it.
They got Jewish people got it set up. They got programs set up to where any Jewish person that wants to can fly back to Israel to go visit their homeland and all that shit for free.
All Jewish citizens can go to college for free in Israel.
Yep. Go ahead, David.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just gonna say they got so many programs set up that they set up themselves to better themselves. It's like Tony said, that's really who we need to be looking at.
Emulating.
You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've been at a war with them for some reason. Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. There's this white dude. He's Jewish, but he's like a white dude. He a rapper, and he started his own record company. He's doing his own thing independently, and he talked about why he was doing that. And he said that Jewish people are taught at a very young age that God wants them to go make money. And that's the difference between Jewish people and a lot of people. They're taught that it's their job on this planet to go make some money, not to go get a job, not to go be a professional ball player, not to try to be no rapper. Their job is to go try to make some money.
Right.
And they just have a totally different mentality than a lot of other people because they realize that you can control people with finance, and a lot of us don't get that.
Absolutely.
And we do everything to try to avoid that shit.
Yep.
And another thing that people have a stereotype of Jews. They say that Jews are stingy. But you know what? It's real simple. Rich people don't get rich by spending. Rich people get rich by saving and investing. And black people don't understand that. They hit the lotto, and it's taking it to make them more money with it. They go and spend it all. 5 years later, they broke, ain't got nothing left, and you wouldn't even know that they ever hit the lotto.
Yep. You know, that and the fact that, you know, black people, for some reason, you know, like we were talking about earlier, we don't put our money behind, you know, say David could come up with an idea, you know, he might need $30,000, you know. Black folks, you know, we don't put our money behind shit like that, man. It's sad, you know, but, you know, it's just not something we do. You know, I say it all the time.
Jews and other people, they lift their people up on their shoulders. Black people, we're pulling people by their ankles.
Yep. It's, you know, I work with I used to work with a lot of Middle Eastern folks, and
they would all live in the same house. You know, you'd have, I used to work with these Pakistani dudes. It would be literally like three whole families living in one house. And not because they had to, but because they were in there saving money, you know, now they got their own
Now they got their own corner store, you know?
Yes.
And then they're, you know, and it's like, you know, but you get, you know, you get three black folks in the house, there's going to be some bullshit going on in there. You know, but like I said, I go over to their house, you know, it's like literally three full families living in a house with no problems, everybody coexisting, you know, because they're trying to work towards something. And that's, you know, that's something that we need to get ingrained in our, you know, in our community to work toward, you know, and especially in our families, to work towards something. You know,
the prime example is these Chinese restaurants and these Thai restaurants. Those are family organizations. Them kids are not in there asking their parents for money. Them kids have been taught, you are here to work for the family. What tips you get goes to the family. Everything that comes in is for the family. We run this business together. Because one day when we die, it's going to be your business. Don't look at the now. Look at the bigger picture. They teach them to do that.
Chances are, most of those businesses, the family might either live upstairs or in the back of that restaurant just to save money.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And the thing is, the kids have the mentality that, okay, this is for my family, and I'm doing this for my family. And then when your dad or mom dies or both dies, then you carry on the family business. You don't ever look at it from a personal standpoint. They always look at it from a family standpoint.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like and
with black people, the second you get a little something, fuck the family. I'm done. I'm doing me. I'm doing me. I ain't got time for all that. I ain't got to put up with all your bullshit. I'm doing me.
Like I said, I'm from Oakland. We had a lot of gentrification. We had a lot of black families whose families own their own houses. But once the parents die, the kids immediately sell the houses and move somewhere else. Now we have white folks buy those houses, fix them up. Now the houses is worth five and six times what they bought them for.
Absolutely. Whereas all the kids had to do was rent those houses out.
Hold on and wait. Yep. Hold on and wait.
That's all they had to do. Just because you didn't want to live there didn't mean you had to sell it, but they got greedy. They wanted that $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in their hand right now instead of realizing you can make $40,000 a year for the rest of your life. And then when you do sell it, it could be worth $3 million instead of $100,000.
Yep.
But they don't see the big picture. That's the one thing about the black community, or a lot of, I'm stereotyping, but a lot of black people, they're all about the now. They don't care about tomorrow. They don't care about next year. They're not looking in the future. They're just trying to get through the day.
Yep.
2 minutes.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, well, we got 2 minutes left,
so let's go ahead and get wrapped up. We had some good talk in here tonight. I want to thank everybody who came on. David, what's that called? I want to thank everybody who came on. And we'll go ahead and get up with you guys again next week.
All right, guys. So look, y'all have a good week, and we'll holler at you again. Peace.